Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The new health guidance will make a bad situation for many workers even worse. Hotel and event staff, tour guides, musicians, substitute teachers, bartenders, many of them are suddenly jobless. Even those who technically still have their jobs are hurting financially because of the coronavirus pandemic. NPR asked people to share their stories of layoffs and pay cuts. Almost 600 responded. NPR's Alina Selyukh spoke with some of them.
Early spring is always a slower time at the Seattle restaurant where Carrie Wason works. She'd been a waitress there for almost 16 years when her city became one of the first epicenters of the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S.
It seemed like all of a sudden Seattle itself took a nosedive and the restaurants were just truly empty.
Cruises stopped coming, theater shows and sports events canceled, people holing up at home, avoiding public spaces. Her restaurant had to limit its menu, then cut back hours. Wason hadn't really processed this crazy idea that it might be forced to close altogether when she walked the mile from her house to what ended up being her last shift at work.
Walked through empty Seattle streets, which is known for its horrendous traffic. Nobody, no cars. Small business after small business on my way with, you know, hand-lettered signs in the windows, saying closed.
Now she's one of many workers in tourism, food, events, arts, education, stuck in a surreal limbo, jobless, but maybe temporarily applying for unemployment, dipping into savings, searching for new work in the middle of a pandemic, hoping maybe to get their old jobs back. But when or if, nobody knows.
Obviously, getting laid off is crazy enough on its own, but just in addition to everything that's going on in the world, it's just like, man, this is insane.
Natalie Roblin also got laid off last week. She lives in New Orleans, where she did marketing at a company that relies both on travel and large events for business. Another group that's been hit hard are truck drivers in the Port of Los Angeles. It's a shipping hub for Chinese imports. As coronavirus quarantines idled Chinese factories, port truck drivers like Neftali Dubon have been losing work.
In the 5 years that I've been working at the Long Beach and LA ports, I've never seen what I'm seeing now. Places where the containers, we just have stacks of containers. It's just now empty, you know?
Dubon is an owner-operator, meaning he's considered his own boss. So technically, he's still employed and does not qualify for government assistance. He gets paid for each load he picks up from the port and drives to a warehouse. He says he needs at least 5 or 6 runs like that a day to make a living. He's now doing 1 or 2. Meanwhile, still paying down a loan on his trucking rig, insurance, storage fees, a total of over $2,000.
I am the owner of the rig. I did purchase it under my credit. So, you know, if I was to stop making payments on my rig, that will also affect my personal credit.
Already this week, more restrictions are kicking in across the country. Federal health officials recommend against gatherings of more than 10 people. Several states are forcing closures of bars, restaurants, and event venues. Perla Pimentel works in hospitality in Orlando and says almost everyone in the city is feeling the squeeze from lack of tourism.
We could tell that the company was hurting because we were watching all of our clients cancel. It's a little bit of a, you don't really expect it to happen to you.
She was an event coordinator, suddenly with no events to coordinate. She says the layoff was amicable, bosses saying they'd be happy to have her back when things normalize, but she can't bank on that possibility whenever it might happen.
I went out to my car and cried and called my dad. Yeah.
Pimentel gave herself a long weekend to breathe and process and discovered an unexpected side effect of unemployment, more time with her overeager housemate, her grandmother.
Oh, she loves it. I go to the kitchen, I eat breakfast. She's like, sit down. Let's hang out. What are you doing later today?
What she is doing today is filing for unemployment, looking for cuts in her budget spreadsheet, calling to renegotiate her student loan, maybe, just maybe, landing a new job. Alina Selyukh, NPR News.
Now, the concerns over COVID-19 have shuttered many parts of daily lives that we've gotten used to, from when and where to shop to how to earn a living. Among the most vulnerable are small business owners who, without large resources like a big corporation, might find it hard to weather the tough times. So we checked in with several of them.
My name is Jeffrey Bernstein. Our business is Destination PSP. We are a Palm Springs-based retailer of our original design merchandise.
It's located right on the busy main strip in downtown. And now he says that right now sales are slowing, but he is bracing for the big hit.
Up to date right now, we're just 25% off where we should be. But you know, this is an entirely tourism-based city, and every single event, conference, and convention has been canceled.
Bernstein has had to send several of his employees home out of concern for their own health because they were over 65, and he's also considering layoffs if things don't improve soon. Thing is, he's not alone. Many businesses nearby are also struggling, and it'll be hard to recover even if things get back to normal in a few months.
50% of our annual revenue is from these few months. So we have a double hit in that even if things turn around and couple months, then we get right into summer where they're going to be naturally slow.
Now, we also heard from Samantha Varela. She produces about 6 comedy shows a month around Los Angeles. But the thing is, with bars closed and restrictions on large gatherings, that means she'll get 0 income for the coming weeks, and not just her.
That's maybe like around 30 performers. It's not like you make a living off of one show, but it's still like chipping away at their monthly income.
And like many gig workers in L.A., she's prepared to go without work for weeks or months at a time.
My field of work is so unpredictable, and at least mentally, I'm kind of not fazed by it because you just have to be okay with the way things turn out. And so right now, my plan is just like living off credit cards, which isn't smart, but I'm lucky to at least have a bit of a credit limit.
In the meantime, to make do, Varela is still trying to produce comedy shows, just not in person. Instead, they're going to be online.
I'm actually doing a show on Instagram Live with 30 or so comics, do like 3 minutes each, where we're promoting the comics and putting their Venmos up or something just to encourage people to support the comics in this kind of dire time.
So if you're in need of some laughs in these uncertain times and want to support some people looking to work without a venue, Varela's show is going to be this Thursday starting at 6 p.m. And the Instagram account to look for, Comedy Quarantine, of course. Now, if you'd like to share your story about the how the coronavirus is affecting you and your business, please email us, take2show@kpcc.org. That's take2show@kpcc.org. Or you can tweet us at take2. That's at take2.
It could be a record month for layoffs due to concerns about the spread of the coronavirus. States have shut down thousands of businesses in the service and hospitality industries, and companies in other industries are tightening up as the stock market has tumbled. To talk about what this has done to the financial circumstances of workers, I'm joined now by Jeff Donofrio. He's the director of Michigan's Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so why don't we just start with the latest numbers in Michigan? How many people have applied for unemployment insurance this week versus last week?
Well, last 3 days alone, we've had 55,000 people apply, which is about a 1,500% increase over the last week.
Wow. Okay. So we have mentioned that the service industry is taking a huge hit. Is that where you're seeing a surge of unemployment insurance claims, or are you seeing layoffs spreading broadly into other sectors? I mean, I know that yesterday the big three automakers said that they were shutting down production until the end of the month.
That's where it's centered right now, right, is in that service industry. But, you know, we do expect that it will expand, especially as manufacturing and other durable good purchases slow down. We know that education, schools, of course, are closed down in Michigan here. And, you know, so I think it's going to affect all parts of our economy.
All right. Well, let's talk about the process of applying for unemployment insurance in your state. There have been widespread reports that the application website has been operating pretty slowly and people haven't been able to get through on the phone. Tell us what you're doing to make sure that people can get their claims in.
So we've tried to make it easier to apply for unemployment insurance and extend benefits. So we've provided emergency support to those individuals who are impacted right now, increased the number of weeks someone has unemployment insurance, and that the time they have to actually file. We've also expanded unemployment insurance to sick workers or those who are quarantined. and don't have any leave, for those who are caring for loved ones and don't have leave, and for first responders at the same time. We know that it's taxing some of our systems, but right. we've added capacity from the staff level. We've made sure just a few months ago, we upgraded our IT and call system, which has really helped a lot. And where other states, I think, have had trouble of even websites crashing, so far, we haven't had a problem with it here.
Well, with respect to eligibility for unemployment, you've mentioned that your state has expanded eligibility requirements. Now, people who have to take care of, say, sick kids or people who are immunocompromised can get benefits. But let me ask you, what about people who are self-employed or people who are independent contractors? Will they be able to access unemployment insurance in Michigan?
That's a real missing piece. And I know that Governor Whitmer and others have called on the president to declare a emergency disaster through FEMA, which would actually expand coverage for individuals who are 1099, those independent contractors mm-hmm. who otherwise aren't covered by unemployment insurance at the state level.
What about people who have not been laid off but who have had their hours cut? Are you considering expanding benefits to them?
We're definitely considering that. In fact, we have a work share program which helps employers who are looking to avoid layoffs, that we would actually subsidize their payroll when they cut back on individual hours for employees. So that's we've waived some of the rules for that. We've expanded it greatly, and we've had a huge amount of interest here in the state of Michigan.
Were you at the Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity during the recession?
No, I was actually working in Congress. So I was at working for John Dingell, who was helping, I think, do a lot with the auto industry and making sure that there was really jobs to come back to after the recession. And so I witnessed it on the first hand on the front lines right. of Capitol Hill.
Well, being in public service then versus now, I mean, how different does it feel now?
Well, it definitely feels similar. I think the difference here is, of course, that was an economic crisis. This is both an economic crisis and a public health crisis. And so I think the dynamic is a bit different. But I can tell you, you know, my team is energetic here. You know, as public service, we're really trying to run towards the sound of the guns, right, towards the crisis at hand. And I think everyone has a commitment to making sure that we get support to the people of Michigan when they need it.
Well, I wish you and your team the best of luck. Jeff Donofrio is the director of Michigan's Department of Labor and Economic Opportunity. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
To fight the spread of the coronavirus, Governor Gavin Newsom has instructed Californians 65 and older to isolate themselves at home. But what about the 20% of Californians in that age group who still have a job? Many older workers are now facing a very tough choice. Should they follow public health orders or keep working to make ends meet? KPCC reporter David Wagner has been covering what the coronavirus means for older workers. David, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, eh?
Now, remind us, what exactly is the state of California telling people 65 and up to do right now?
Well, the governor has made it pretty clear that anyone 65 and older should stay at home and not leave the house unless it's absolutely necessary. And right now, that seems like pretty solid advice for all age groups. Officials say social distancing is going to help slow the spread of the virus no matter how old you are. But the governor did single out seniors because they're the ones most likely to fall seriously ill if they get the coronavirus.
Now, it's one thing to tell retirees who have people taking care of them to stay home, but what about seniors who still have to support themselves?
Exactly. So that's where this is going to get tricky. You might think it would be easier for people 65 and older to stay home, but actually 1 in 5 Californians in that age group still has a job. Some might not be able to work from home, and some might need to keep working to get that income.
What do we know about these older workers? Why are they still working?
Well, we know that the percentage of seniors in the workforce has been rising in California over the last decade, and we know that many keep working because they can't afford retirement. Some keep working because it does have some benefits. You know, you get more social interaction at work, you get more mental engagement. But in a fast-moving public health crisis like the one we're dealing with right now, the fact that we have so many seniors in the workplace could also expose some of the most vulnerable people to infection. USC gerontology professor Kate Wilbur says, on the one hand, public health officials are telling older folks to stay home, but on the other hand, their employers may be telling them to keep coming to work.
There's lots of uncertainty, and there are definitely mixed messages. How do we ensure that people that are pretty much on the margin economically are safe?
Wilbur says this is going to be especially hard on low-wage workers who can't survive on Social Security and those in the gig economy who can't tap into unemployment benefits.
Were you able to ask any older workers how they're approaching the situation?
Yeah, one person I talked to is Barbara Lockridge. She's 67. She lives in Koreatown. And until recently, she was working as a crossing guard for the city of L.A. But she says when schools shut down last week,
they called me and told me, listen, you're going to finish up the afternoon, but the schools are closing and we're going to have to lay you off. I'm so sorry.
Now she's leaning into her other job, doing deliveries through Postmates.
Is it a good idea for her to keep driving all over town making deliveries right now, getting into contact maybe with some people?
Well, Lockridge says she does know that she's at higher risk of life-threatening illness if she contracts the virus due to her age and the fact that she's had chemotherapy in the past. But she says she really doesn't have a choice. She needs to keep working. She lives alone, and without the income, she says she couldn't afford her rent.
But is she taking any precautions to avoid getting sick?
She plans to wash her hands regularly and keep her distance from others. And when she's doing deliveries for Postmates, she says she's not greeting customers at their doors.
I don't interact with too many people. I pick up the package with gloves on. I drop them off at their front door. I don't talk to anybody.
Postmates has said it is setting up a relief fund for workers to help cover the cost of health expenses and sick leave related to the coronavirus. But when I asked them if they were offering any help specifically to their older workers, I didn't get a response.
Man, all right. Are employers doing anything to tell older workers to stay home?
Yeah, I mean, many are definitely telling their workers, both old and young, to work from home during this time. But some people can't work from home, like 71-year-old Delilah Tibson. She's a housekeeper at the Westin Bonaventure, and she told me she planned to show up for work today because she's still on the schedule.
They haven't called me and said, but Delilah, you need to stay at home. But if they did, that sure would stay at home.
So some older workers are taking cues from their employers to keep coming in. Tibson says she likes working and she doesn't want to disrupt her daily routine or lose the income she needs to support herself.
Yeah, now it could be a long time before restrictions are lifted. What's the long-term outlook for some of these older workers?
Yeah, that's another tough question right now. I mean, workers of all ages are probably on edge during this time. But Paul Irving with the Milken Institute says older workers may be afraid of not just losing their jobs right now, but also not being able to find a new one once things get back to normal.
They suffer the risks of ageism in employment and oftentimes in reemployment. So if they leave their jobs, the prospect of being reemployed is that much more challenging for this population, particularly if the financial impacts of the coronavirus lead to recession, as I think is likely under the circumstances.
So bottom line, you know, this virus is a big risk to the health of older people, but it could also impact their finances more severely, too.
That's KPCC's David Wagner talking about the coronavirus and what it means for older workers. David, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Context. Try that again. Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, March 20, 2020, so I have been told. This is our weekly forum, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Wow. Most of the time for this broadcast, sometimes for the compensatory call-in on Saturdays as well, but certainly for this broadcast, Neutralizing Workplace Racism, I will say this is not a broadcast for spectators. That applies exponentially this week. Historic moment on the global plantation of white supremacy racism. Wow. We will have much to say as the days and weeks, months unfold about all of this. But wow, historic number of days this past week. With regards to workplace racism, really all areas of people activity, but certainly workplace racism. For this broadcast, it's so many different components in terms of, are you still working? Have your hours been reduced? Has the policy and procedure been changed? That's something we talk about all the time on this broadcast, policy and procedure, policy and procedure, policy and procedure. I suspect many policies and procedures have been amended because these are unprecedented times. So might not be in the policy, might not be anything in the policy and procedure for this type of event and, you know, what to do. So that is enormous. If you have edits, and I mean, it could be massive edits to, you know, sick leave and holiday leave, personal leave, physical contact, meals in the workplace. I mean, unprecedented times. So I'll say what I said again. This is not a broadcast for spectators. And I think particularly counter-racist perspective, we're in so many different locations. As I said, I'm, you know, looking forward. We should have had it a long time ago, but getting the Global Sunday Talk on Racism back, just because there are Cal's listeners in so many different locations to hear, what are they seeing? What's the response? You know, how are people taking it seriously? Even that, if I could get 1 second to deviate, I'd heard a number of folks, they said, you know, black people aren't taking this seriously. They may have been talking about Gus T, because I have not been posting pictures of me with a respirator and how to clean water. I've been posting, you know, food pictures of things I've been cooking, vegan treats and things that I've been making in the middle of. That's still, you know, social distancing because I've been by myself cooking. But I mean, you know, that might not be the best, most prudent thing to do under these circumstances. Anyway, with if I could just my moment of deviation. Learning, paying attention to things that are happening in different parts of the world, the importance of having the Global Sunday Talk and hearing from different folks that are different hemisphere, you know, different regions. I'd heard a lot of folks saying that black people weren't taking this seriously. And I said, well, wait a minute. Now, the Prime Minister of England, Boris Johnson, suspected racist. They aren't even under quarantine. Like, you can still, if we were in the UK, which some of the Cal's listeners are, Mr. Fox, we could, you know, hey, go to the pub. We don't even have to listen to the Cal's. We could go, you know, to the bar, get a pint, kick back, relax. You can still do all that stuff over there. They aren't locked down the way they are here. I think the schools aren't locked down. He said, we're not doing all that, you know, zaniness. They got protocol. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to wash my hands. I got hand sanitizer, back down. But yeah, they didn't do all that. So, I mean, is England not? I haven't heard anybody say that. Is England not taking this seriously? Is the United Kingdom not taking this seriously? Like, so quick to make those accusations. Black people aren't taking it. Back to workplace racism. We'll get that in tomorrow. Back to workplace racism. No spectating. Get to a quiet area. Use your mute button. Unmute. But I mean, this is unprecedented. This is unless this is our global coup de grace and we don't survive this one, your children, your grandchildren, when they are studying about this event, they'll probably have all kinds of virtual things so they can go back and see a lot of it and experience it. But yeah, they'll probably come in and, you know, what were you doing? Like, wow, you lived through that? You had to stay in the house for, you know, who knows, months, weeks, whatever it is, and brawl over toilet paper? My God, I can't believe it. What were you doing? So, hey, boop. Audio archive. I did participate and share about my workplace situation. And, you know, we all had to have holsters of hand sanitizer, or we weren't working at all. We had to work from home, or, you know, whatever it is. And social distancing. You can explain all of that and have a little audio keepsake of not only you, but your contemporaries, and, you know, what they observed, what their experience was during all of this. And from the counter-racist perspective, has it made you adjust your counter-racist code? That was absolutely something that I thought was important. In my opinion, if you have a solid counter-racist code when emergencies come up, things that are beyond what you would expect in your work environment during a normal work day, oddities, extreme examples, when those type of events happen, if you don't have to make too many adjustments to your code, you know you got something solid. Now, I just looked at some of the general things that we, you know, recommend on this program. Time like this, it might be sound to avoid the potluck dinners. In fact, I think in some workplaces, like I said, that has been nixed. No more of that. Don't bring any of your, you know, gingerbread cookies and meatloaf and pasta left. Leave all that out. We gotta cancel the petition to make the Negro custodial worker eat the brownies. Stop all that. In fact, don't you ever bring another brownie in this workplace. Everybody eat your own food. Might be that your code is okay if that is your normal code of business anyway. What they call social distancing. I'm not hanging out at the water cooler every 5 minutes. I'm not hanging out at the microwave oven. I'm not hanging out when it's pizza day next to the box, next to the slices, chatted up with everybody. I'm passing out the Parmesan cheese and red crushed peppers. Do all that. Talking about workplace things. Other than that, I'm at my workstation doing my work. Social distancing, now they call it. Not into all the extracurricular, chatted up, hanging out and all that stuff. I'm not going to the bar. Closed now anyway. Solid things that you want to be doing anyway. I guess washing your hands, that would be there anyway. Paying attention to policy and procedure. My goodness, it's probably been amended in so many places. You've got to be abreast of all the changes. And like I said, sick leave and paid sick leave. And do you get it? And, you know, all the rest of it. Do you have a workplace where there's physical touching? Yoga studio. Other folks, you know, if you work in a gym environment, if you're a healthcare practitioner, my goodness, you got a whole new manual. I know we got healthcare workers. If you work in a school, I suspect you got a whole new manual. Physical contact. How close do you get? Oh, my gosh. Historic times. The number 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Educators, get to that immediately. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Educators, we certainly should not have educators sitting on the phone mute, mum, silent. Social distancing, everybody should be excited, elated to talk a little bit. Educators, are you even working? Did they close the school? Did they end the school year? I know that has happened in some places where they just forget it, you know, we're done. Are you going to be back? Is it a timetable? Are you going to be back in 2 weeks, a month, 2 months? Wow. Whole different world with so-called the Chinese virus, Wuhan disease. We have people who wrote in and they began to talk about how this is impacting their workplace. If you are not able to dial in and you still want to make sure that you're not spectating, you can email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Drop an email and we can read your commentary anonymously. If you have comments or suggestions on what's been shared, you have your own thoughts, feel free. untiljustice@gmail.com. I will be mindful of email as we are rolling. Speaking of which, we had folks who emailed earlier in the week. Make sure I get that in. Let's see. First email up, I work for a federal agency within a federal building. Within the department, there are several offices that have leaders. However, over the entire department is an alleged neurosurgeon that should make one decision for all employees during this crisis. I'm still waiting. I made a decision last week, Friday, that I will not be reporting to work due to the coronavirus. The county where the federal building is located has closed all public buildings. Still no decision. That is exactly what I was going to say about educators. But before I move on, much obliged person who wrote this in. That's what I say all the time about taking your personal safety. That is, you have to be the person who is most concerned about that. And I mean like feverish, there's that word again, feverishly concerned about your personal safety at all times in the workplace, because they do not care about Negroes. In fact, they mistreat and abuse a lot of white people in the workplace. So they certainly do not care about Negro employees in any field. So this would apply Corona or no. If you have come to the conclusion, you've done your research, this indeed could be our coup de grace. Folks are not taking it serious. Boris Johnson, everybody, they're not taking it serious. And I'm going to come up with my own code to make sure that I'm safe in the workplace. And if that includes, hey, these folks are clowning around. They're not being decisive. These are medical officials. And they're not even being decisive about this. They're not even making a policy that, hey, we take this seriously. We take your safety seriously. This is going to be the policy. We're closing things down, or blah, 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 or whatever it's going to be to make sure that everybody. And they're just twiddling it. Mm. Starbucks still open? Uber Eats? We good? All right. What are you doing if you see that sort of thing? And it would not surprise me at all if you see that type of thing happening. Take your safety into your own hands. That's mandatory, COVID or no. So bravo. What? And this is the same thing where people are not being decisive about a policy. I said for educators, even if we were just talking about the United States, but it can be educators globally, but just talking about the U.S. for now. I said they have Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education, suspected racist, white woman. They have Surgeon General. They have the Center for Disease Control, CDC. You could have these three branches, one member of those branches, all of them. They could just come out and say, hey, we got standardized tests in the land for public schools receiving federal money, K through 12. This is what it's going to be. Children are important. We're shutting it down. How is it that you have such a hodgepodge of policy? I said this the other day. We're in Texas. It's kind of depends on which county you're in, what the policy is going to be, how long they're closed, that sort of thing. In the land of the coon man, Virginia, he just got to decide unilaterally. All the schools are closed. How can that be that it switches? I mean, if you're in Texas, like I said, you can be within the state, depending on which county you is, they have different policies. And then from Texas to Louisiana, I believe all the schools are closed in Louisiana. How can that be where it's that different? You got people that live right next to each other in Texas and Louisiana, and they got totally different policies for their children about how they're dealing with this response. How can that be? Is that people talk about black people not taking it seriously? Is that an example of white people not taking it seriously? Why don't you have a uniform policy for your children? Federal policy. Maybe I'm being ignorant. Might be. Maybe they can't agree on that sort of thing. Anywho, will I get in one more email? I'll get in one more email. Get in one more email. Let's see. B from Canada. Global system of white supremacy, racism, global pandemic. She writes in, provided is a submission of my report, I may not be able to call into the program in time, but will make an effort to do so when possible. The coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, also known as the Chinese virus, continues to flourish in the province of Ontario, so much so that the province is second highest in terms of citizens affected. The number is at 257 at the time of this email, which was earlier this morning. The province is under a state of emergency. As a result, governments across all levels have encouraged social distancing, where citizens are advised not to be in crowds of more than 50 persons. Note, it is a curbing of citizens' rights to assemble in public places, but I digress. That is important. The practice, hand washing of 20 seconds each hand, is held as standard practice, and non-essential workers and companies are encouraged to shut down and stay home. There's not much talk in terms of compensation for those not affected by the virus. However, those who are infected by the virus can get fast-tracked onto employment insurance where the delay in benefits has been reduced from 2 weeks to 1 week. The benefits last 14 to 16 weeks. As of this email, it is anticipated that these measures may extend extend to months rather than weeks. This Saturday, Canadian borders to U.S. will shut down. I thought it was already closed. Hopefully, the retreat will not be affected, but be prepared if it is. Those outside of Canada currently who are not infected with the virus but has another ailment must produce a medical certificate or will not be able to board a plane and fly back to the country. I could see all kinds of travel restrictions. They were talking about people, these were U.S. citizens who had flown, let's say, Peru. They went to Peru, stuck, don't know when they can come back. Continuing. Those coming from other countries that too are affected by COVID-19 may endure further complications. Those not infected may be able to fly back. However, I have a friend in the Caribbean right now who is experiencing trouble getting a flight back to Canada. Not surprised. At the plantation, there is a white female who is currently ill, but is uncertain if due to COVID-19 virus. Why in the hell hasn't she been quarantined? See, that type of thing, too, would have me upset. Like, if this is really serious, worldwide, anybody comes in and you're... morning. Like, whoa, what, get out of here, man. What are you doing? Like, you're trying to kill us all. Like, how can you come to work and just be hanging out and you got the sniffles and, like, get the hell out of here. What is, woo. Continuing, let's see. Made me lose my place in the okay. At the plantation, there is a white female who is currently ill, but is uncertain if it's due to COVID-19 virus. The manager and other staff are aware, but they still allow her to work. I think it is selfish and just not good practice to allow her to continue working. They are click-ish and protect their own. Lesson learned, discretion in the hands of those knowing the circumstances and not caring for the consequences is dangerous. This is why I said you have to take your... personal safety, you have to be the primary person, because I mean, they could have a situation where she's your desk mate or something. You all share like the same cubicle area or what have you, and you're supposed to hang out with her for 40 hours a week. And, you know, every 5 seconds she's, oh, hey, B. Sorry. Got any more of those crackers? Like, what the hell? Oh, my God, you're going to kill us all. Working from home. Let's see. My plans for escape from this plantation have been effectively delayed. That's the whole world. There were a couple of interviews that I was scheduled for that have now been canceled. Of course, I am patiently biding for time as the position I am in is considered essential at the moment. In a twisted way, the position I am in is currently enabling me to put food on the table. I still watch my back to keep safe and avoid further mistreatment. Amid the situation, I am still working on my plan to get out at the earliest convenience. From the words of my offspring, stay informed, boost up your health, and stay safe. Wishing safety and health to you, callers, listeners, and your family and friends. Be in Toronto. Whew. Wild. If anybody is in a work situation where people are there, matter of fact, we had a cows listener. There was a cows listener. She wrote me and said that in her work environment, there were people. I think she said people. It wasn't one person. There were people doing exactly that. Every 5 seconds, sneeze here, sneeze there, sniffle here. Like, what the hell? Like, take your safety seriously. You have to be the person who is most concerned about your safety in the workplace under any conditions, whether it was this corona related or not. You have to be the one that takes that seriously. So, yeah, I would just, hey, you, it's racks of information worldwide. I wouldn't care where you reside that sort of thing is totally unsafe, totally irresponsible, subversive activity, as Mr. Fuller said, in this context, even. And in fact, in some parts of the world, that's a fine for that sort of behavior. You're supposed to be at home, like, get out of here, you know, get out of here. Maybe all of us, they might have to quarantine the whole building, right? Fumigate the place. The email, untiljustice@gmail.com. The number, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943 pound. press *61 if you would like to participate. For the retreat, of course, System of White Supremacy, the time we have the best organized, planned, meaning at least, you know, done way in advance, no waiting around till the last minute, trying to rush and get things together. Everything planned way early would be the time we would have a global pandemic that threatens humankind. Of course, I said this yesterday, I would get my passport for the first time in my life and they would close the border. The U.S.-Canadian border is closed. If the retreat was this month, we would not be going. Have to see if white people reopen the border. The one good thing about us being so far in advance that we actually have months to see what happens. Our president said if we can get a hold of the Chinese virus, the next 30 days are critical. So we'll have to see. Take it a day at a time. That's about, I think, as best as anybody can do right now. Things have seemed to change so rapidly from hour to hour at some moments. Is take it a day at a time and make an assessment about this time next month and see where we are, see how everyone is doing, if everybody's healthy and wants to travel. So much has changed so quickly. We'll just have to see where it stands. People might, if we are able to travel, people might be in need of a little relaxation and yoga, eating some healthy food, but just have to make an assessment as the days go by. Whew. Number again is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, this is not a broadcast for spectators. What has been the impact? What has even been the counter-racist impact? Because I know it's been a lot of racist jokes. So if you're still having to be on the plantation and it's just business as usual, well then, no problem. We can just get to, you know, what are the normal racist antics? Are they putting things in your coffee? Did they put your water on the floor? Are they sneaking up on you and giving you a hug even under these circumstances? Like, yeah, if it's business as usual, then it's neutralizing workplace racism as usual. We will get the phone line, *61, if you have thoughts, observations, either your own situation or if you have thoughts on any of the folks who emailed in. Let's see if I can get my way to the switchboard here. All righty. First few folks who dialed in with a hand up. Proceed.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I heard both of you. We'll get our female Hello. Caller first.
Oh, my apologies. I think I'll be quick. I have generally been a spectator, but I did call in last week, and I started tuning in 2016, which was another tumultuous time. I think that when times like this occur, a lot of people are trying to, you know, find avenues where they can hear something that sounds like sanity, and that's what workplace racism and compensatory pollen has been. I usually listen through YouTube, through Mr. Fox's post, and I hadn't always agreed with everything that I hear all the time, and sometimes I would tune out, but over the years, I've come to realize that there's few other constructive programs where, you know, you as the host as well as the callers consistently share so many valuable things. Like as I've learned more about VGQ and what it means to be a universal person and things like that, I really think it's helped me, you know, on the job as well as in my personal life. So what I was calling to talk about quickly is that one thing that I didn't do, and I was just thinking, wow, they always say on that program to do this, and I didn't do it. Here's my slap on the wrist to myself. The building sent out an email. We've been inundated with all kinds of mixed messages. Everything seems very chaotic, just like at the national level, at the local level, at the job level, everything seems very chaotic. People seem like they're trying to figure things out. And we received an email saying that the building was going to be open for a very brief period of time to come get our things. Anything that was left in any refrigerators would be thrown out. So come get anything that's of value because the building is going to be closed. At first, it said for an indefinite period of time. We've since received clarification. So I went, and I was like, well, what do I really need? I don't have much there at all. But I do have a very small refrigerator. And I was just thinking to myself, in times right now where everybody's like trying to stock up, I need that refrigerator at home. And they always say on the program, don't have a lot of the items there, because if you end up needing to leave for any reason, you don't want to have to be lugging down a lot of stuff. And I did have to bring my son with me to try to assist me with getting this. It's a small refrigerator, but still, it's something that I would want to retrieve because it costs a little bit of money, and I wouldn't want to just leave that there should they tell us, oh, the building's closed permanently, forever. So I just was thinking on my way, I was like, wow, if I had listened and left my things that are, you know, important or valuable, don't have too many things there, I wouldn't be dealing with this. I'd have my refrigerator at home already, ready to stock up. And then the other thing, a minor thing, as I was coming in, I do have a hanging tag on my rearview mirror that I'm an employee of this building, and there was a security person at the gate, and they let two other cars through, no problem. I didn't see the race of those people, although one of the persons I recognize as a Hispanic female coworker, but I didn't see her get out of the car. Those two people went through. When it was my turn, whoa, what's going on? What are you doing? And I pointed to the hanging tag thinking that would be enough. That wasn't enough. I had to roll down my window, and I just kept thinking, just be calm. You cannot expect just because you have the thing that you're supposed to have that you're going to be treated the way you're supposed to be treated. Just stay calm. So I did stay calm, and I just explained what should have been obvious. I pointed to the tag again. I said, I work here. They sent out an email. I'm just here to retrieve something, and I'll be gone quickly. And he goes, okay. And I was able to get through. I don't know if it's because I was calm. I don't know, but that was one minor thing that I wanted to share, and that was it. I wanted to keep it brief. I'm afraid if I talk too much about what was going on, I'll be rambling because there's been a lot going on. So I'll just leave it at that. And thank you for letting me. Oh, I'm sorry. One other thing I did want to say. I don't know if I mentioned already that how all of the other things that the callers share, in addition to what you do as the host, it's just so valuable listening to, like, retired firefighters share his perspective as having made it through to the point of being able to retire and still being, you know, active, and listening to the caller from the courthouse and all the things he's going through. Be from Toronto, as you just read. All these different callers who call in and share their experiences, it's just a reminder, like, even when you think you know and you think you're doing these things, the consistent reminder to have a code and to continue to look for ways to refine it is just so valuable, because now that this is a very stressful time, I'm just thinking, okay, breathe and, you know, be calm and, do yoga, do things that will help keep you occupied so you're not feeling anxious, and all of those things. I probably know some of them, but having that consistent reminder is just so constructive, because it's very easy to be distracted, and that consistent reminder is useful. And that's it. Thank you for letting me share.
That's one of my favorite words, consistent. I had a coworker in the great city of Atlanta. He used to say that's one of the highest compliments that you can give someone, to say that they are consistent. Varied. In fact, the legend, the grandcestor, we read I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Dr. Maya Angelou, 2014. She said the most important virtue is consistency. Without consistency, the rest of the virtues, strength, courage, whatever else you think, they are not valuable unless you practice them consistently. Very important. But I have heard that consistently from listeners who will say, in fact, I even heard that from folks at the retreat that, man, when I first started listening, it's like, who is this coon? Why did they let him on the air? Why are you all even listening? Or I did agree with that coon for a while, but man, he went off the deep end and I just cannot listen anymore. Like, I'm done with that foolishness. And they'll say that after a while, something will happen. Be like, man, maybe they did have some constructive points. I've heard that a number of times from folks who listen in the States and beyond. With the refrigerator situation, we certainly have, myself and many other folks have said, hey, keep it real minimal in the workplace. Only have things that you need to perform your workplace duties, essentials, nothing extra. This is not your personal space that you're decorating. They allow you to hang out here. They can revoke it, as you see. Got to, hey, where are you going? Slow down. What are you doing here? Got it, my decal. I got my bag. Hey. Watch that lip. Watch your attitude. Kind of, especially nowadays, like, man, that could be grounds for, you know, shooting somebody or tasing somebody. You look like you're rolling up too fast on a place and it's closed down or whatever. Like, man. But I think having a refrigerator, I would have never thought, like, yeah, I'm going to have my own personal refrigerator at my office or desk area. Would have never thought of that. But yeah, if you have your own space, if you have the space, absolutely, that would be much better than having to share a refrigerator space with coworkers. We've talked about that for years. I know I have, because I've experienced that personally, where they steal your food, play with your food. We had the caller in the courthouse in Florida where he had his water and they put his water on the floor, like just tons of that. So that's intelligent. If you have the means and you have the space and they allow you to have a refrigerator at your workspace, bravo. And that is something that I would want to retrieve, because I could see them stealing that. I thought you were going to say that you went to get it back and they had stolen it or something. So, yeah, that I'm glad you were able to get it back. I'm glad your son was able to help. And I'm not surprised that it was some tackiness for you accessing the facility. That sort of thing happens all the time. Chinese virus or no. A decade ago, nobody had even heard of Wuhan. Cynthia McKinney, a 6-time congresswoman, had the same thing where she was going, hey, where's your badge? We don't just allow niggers to run in here. What are you doing here? I'm a 6-time member of Congress. What is going on? Where's your badge? Let me see your papers. Keep you running for those papers.
It almost feels like the chaos is like enjoyable to some people, that they get the opportunity to do things that they might like harass in a more blatant way. That was because I know that security person, I've seen them before. But you know, all of a sudden it was, what are you doing here? Why are you here now? But okay.
Oh yeah, I said that I think a few days back. Racists, they thrive in these type of situations, with the word that you keep hearing a whole lot, that I hear a whole lot, chaos, confusion, they thrive, right? Generally because they are the ones generating the confusion. Like, yes, they thrive, but they love it. They love it when you have people that are aggressive and they are about mistreatment. They are about this. Oh yeah, this is spectacular. Even the metaphor that was used in Michigan, from, what was it, Representative Galafino, he said, you have some people, we run to the guns, talking about their response to the coronavirus. I said, what a metaphor. Like, what in the world? It's not, we run to help. There's some, they see an accident or someone in need, and we run to the accident. We see an injury, and we run to help that person. No, we run to the gunfire. Yes, love it. Ah, even that, and that's the metaphor, is the way that they've been talking, that this is warfare. We have an enemy. We have a combatant that we need to face down. Battle. Love it. John Patton told people, not John Patton, but we told people about Patton. Great movie. If you want to binge watch, that is a great one to binge watch because it's long, too. I bet it's on Netflix. Patton. I think that was Henry in Chicago, if my audio is not bad. Did you speak up simultaneously?
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes. Audio is good. Yes, sir. Thank you for your patience.
All right. Greetings, Gus, and greetings to all the callers and listeners. Just to add, about 20 years ago, I survived a layoff at a company I was working for. And I saw the number of people who were walking out of the, you know, place with boxes and all kind of stuff and refrigerators. And I adopted that code 20 years ago when I told myself, I think I'm going to take all of my stuff. And when I leave every day from work, I will be leaving like I won't be coming back. So every time I leave work, if they happen to fire me, you know, over the phone or whatever tacky way that they do it, then I don't have to come back and pick anything up. So I never have anything personal that I want at my desk. No pictures, no nothing. Whatever I have there, they can have. And I won't miss it at all. So it was a code I adopted years ago. In regards to the schools, I work for a public school in the suburb of Chicago, not as a teacher, but as one of the technology people. I'm responsible for the technology in the district, me and a couple of other people. But the district that I work for, they have a date of possible return as April 6th. Chicago Public Schools has a possible return date of April 20th. And Indiana, the Indiana School District, which is right next door to us, or the state of Indiana, they told their students and teachers that they don't come back until May 1st. So I know what you're talking about when you're saying that this is not a uniform type of thing, because, like I said, my school district says April 6th, and CPS, which is right next door to us, April 20th, and then May 1st in the other state. So, you know, there's no uniformity of when when these dates of return are possible. But also, too, in my job, I work under a white woman who is the head of the technology department in the district that I work in. And she, for the last 3 months, has been coughing up a storm. And it is just like a metaphor. And it was just irritating. I mean, you know, I never want to go in our office because of the fact that she's always coughing. And it was just like some of the other people were, you know, asking her, well, why don't you go to the doctor? And she says that she hasn't seen the doctor in 2 years. And so everybody kind of knew, and, you know, she's an older white lady, and, you know, she has health problems, but she's over here coughing all over the place, you know, giving us what, you know, she probably has, trying to give us what she probably has. So I always made it a thing to stay away from her office, and when she needed me, I would stand right at her door and ask her, yes, what do you need? Because I'm not walking in there. But I'm hoping, I'm very much hoping that when this is over and when we get back, that there is a policy that, you know, if you're coughing like that, you need to go home or you need to go see a doctor to see what's going on. One of the things, too, is that from somebody that is close to her, she kind of thinks that, you know, she's the most important person, you know, in the district. Well, you know, I know in the system of white supremacy, there is a hierarchy because there are more important white people than you are. So, but she tends to think that she is in that echelon of white people that's the most important. But, you know, that's another story. But yes, I do want a policy where if you're coughing every 5 minutes, and especially coughing hard and loud, where her office is about 6 feet from where I sit at, and I can hear her clearly when she's coughing. So, yes, we need to implement a policy where if you're coughing that loud and every 5 minutes, you need to go home. So that's all I have right now. I'm in my line.
Man. Much obliged. Our narrator, dutiful narrator for the book club, currently getting us through Dr. Sylvia Hood Washington's packing them in, environmental racism in the state of Illinois. I'm so sorry. You have to deal with that contaminated office environment. For the folks who've been reporting this, like I said, it was, we had Cal's listeners who were saying the same thing, that they were experiencing this in terms of having coworkers who were coming in sneezing and coughing, sniffling, all the rest of it. And nobody was going, hey, we got to go home, man, self-quarantine. Nobody was doing any of that. It was just business as usual, you know, no big deal. Take your safety into your own hands. Absolutely. It would be super social distancing. And I would even have to think about saying something. I mean, this is historic. They've closed borders around the world. Stop flights. People who said they don't remember it being this bad at 9/11. Like, hey, we have a pandemic. Do you hear that coughing from down the hall? Isn't that the type of thing that's supposed to be quarantined? You can still, hey, what we say all the time on the front, you can stay in the question lane. Question lane. Question lane. I would just ask, or at least I would be thinking about that. Like, man, my health and safety is important. And if this is an academic setting, there could be younger people here. Plus, you said this is an older white woman. Like, David, I played that audio segment. They just said the older people, like, hey, you all are the ones are at risk, man. If you were hacking and coughing up a lung like months in advance, like your immune system is already compromised. You're the very folks that, you know, could be at risk for biting the dust on this one or infecting the rest of this. Might be patient zero. You said she's been coughing for a few. This whole thing didn't even start in Wuhan. It's the Chicago virus. It started right there. This woman infected everybody. But I would seriously think about, you know, saying something. And you could put that in the question lane. Do we have a pandemic happening? Have they advised people that are exhibiting symptoms to stay at home? Self-quarantine, they call. Hasn't that been recommended? Like, what? And now, if it was me, if it was any of our folks that are listening in, now imagine black person. They come on the job every 5 seconds. That's what they're coughing and all the rest of. May imagine. You think they're going to let you just hang out? Like, oh, no, everything is cool. You're doing all right. Okay, all right. Bought you some chicken. Make you feel like, no, I don't think it's going to happen that way at all. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think so. Maybe you get home. You can go home with sick pay. I guess folks can let us know if there have been non-white people, black people in particular, if they've been on your job coughing and sneezing and all the rest of it and nobody had a problem with that. Let me know. Maybe I'm miscalculating here. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks?
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, greetings, Gus. Greetings,
your volume is quite low. If you could speak up or get closer to the receiver or both, maybe.
Yes. Is that better?
That's an improvement.
All right. Yes, greetings, callers, listeners, and greetings, Gus, and thank you again for the platform. It's been a very interesting week in general. It's been an interesting couple months, but this situation with this virus has caused a lot of craziness. And I say that, I mean, it has brought out people that, there are people that are looking for safety and actually looking to make sure that their loved ones and family are okay. And then there's another side that is kind of infused and a little bit sparked by it, and they enjoy the chaos to some degree, and I've taken good notice of it and tried to stay away from that energy, even if they're non-white. You know, it's not a situation you could debate people and get them to do what's constructive or calm down, so to speak. That being said, at my job, I just got a meeting today, a mandatory one, stating that we would have to come in at least once during the week, and I'm located in literally the worst place in America right now, which is New York City. And I work downtown Brooklyn, downtown Manhattan, like Wall Street. So they're telling us, I'm a technology person in the business, that we have to come in to ensure that the executives and everybody else is up and running and there are no issues. I'm not thrilled about it at all.
Oh, are you still there, sir? Hello, hello, hello. Are you still there? Not here. I guess Henry in Chicago. Any of our other folks? I'm still being heard. It's not just me. Did we lose our caller in New York?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Much obliged, ma'am. Much obliged. Caller in New York. I'm not sure what happened. Let's see. Are you still there? Not hearing you? Are you still there? Caller in New York? Are you still there? We may have lost you. If you can hear us, we're not able to hear you. Your audio cut out somewhere. You were saying they were requiring you all to show up for work to make sure the executives and probably powerful white people to make sure that their equipment is working without difficulties. And then obviously you're not happy about this and the audio went out. So if you want to hang up, call back in to finish up. But we cannot hear you. So, yes, hang up, dial back in. I'll look out for you on the switchboard. In the meantime, other folks, if we have missed you totally, if you have a hand up, if you have commentary to share, proceed.
Hello, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, everyone. I'm calling you from Atlanta, Georgia. And the main concern I have as far as, like, with the place where I work at is transparency. I think that last night, I work a night shift, and it's a very small shift. It's only, like, four people that work the shift. But for the first and the second shift of the job, it's like maybe 100 employees. And as we was leaving this morning to go home, some of the morning shift people came. I mean, some of the first shift people came and was telling us, hey, there's a couple of people that's going to get tested for the coronavirus today. And we're not sure, they was kind of frightened, like, okay, if they do get tested positive with the management, give us the heads up, like, hey, where they want to shut down the warehouse I work at. This is a pretty vital warehouse in the company. It's a pretty big company, and our branch is basically like the lifeblood of the company. So it never shuts down, but the odd thing about it is, I think maybe like 2018, I think it was like, I think they were saying it was going to snow real bad here in Atlanta. And so management gave us like 3 days off. It come around and it didn't even snow. It was like a false alarm, but they gave us 3 days off. Now we got this global pandemic going on, and we're still, business as usual, coming into work every day. The hours haven't changed. So they basically just put up some, some signs saying, wash your hands, don't touch your eyes. If you're sick, stay home. But for the most part, it's just like business as usual. Even like, as far as like in the news, I've been watching down here in the local news, and still people going out to clubs and shootouts at clubs and shootouts at the mall. They had a non-white person got killed in Atlanta's mall like 3 days ago. And I'm just shocked. Like, Atlanta is not really, like you said, there's no kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's no consistency about anything that's going on right now. It's a whole bunch of confusion. And I guess it's like the emailer said, I think it was V from Toronto, like, the main concern I have, will my company have enough transparency to tell its employees, hey, you might want to get tested. We had a couple people that, you know, like, came down with the coronavirus. And that's basically all I have to say. Thank you.
Woo, man. I was sitting, much obliged. Thank you so much for dialing in to share, sir. I was listening, and I forgot, because you said at the beginning that you were calling in from Atlanta and proceeded with your, what's happening in your work. And that's what I mean when people come out, because they will make these blanket statements and say, black people aren't taking this seriously. In comparison to what? Like, man, Boris Johnson, you have an entire country. They are not locked down. They are in the middle of Europe. They are not locked down. They have not closed the schools. Said, we're not doing all that. Anyway, so you started at the beginning in Atlanta, talking about your workplace situation after you got about halfway through. And I had kind of forgotten that you'd said, oh, yeah, calling from Atlanta. When you were talking about, like, it just seemed chaos and confusion, no consistency. People are still going to the clubs and blah, blah, blah. And I said, where in the hell is he calling from that the mall is even open? Like, all the malls are closed. Like, that stuff wouldn't even be possible to do, to go to the mall or to go to the club. Like, where do you live exactly? I said, oh, Atlanta. That's why. I'm like, oh, my God. Woo. I had already ridiculed them. Man, as someone who has lived in Atlanta, I am so thankful I am not there in the middle of all of this. And I also mentioned the CDC, their headquarters is in Atlanta. I am so thankful I did. And how can you have confusion in Atlanta? The CDC is right there. That should be one place where, hey, we are not going to be confused about this. We are all going to walk 10 blocks down Peachtree. We're going to get to the CDC. Give us the update. What's good? No. We're at Lenox Mall. Because he got...
Hello?
Okay, am I being heard? Am I being heard?
Yep.
Oh, okay, just making sure. Yeah, yep. We're at Lenox Mall, yep. And all the rest of it with confusion. Standard operating procedure for a city with a high population of black people, where you would just have the standard chaos. Usual suspects are to blame for that as well. Racist man, racist woman, racist child. But absolutely, whoo, so thankful. Not in Atlanta, not in Atlanta. That transparency, though, is so important. And that's why I say consistently, take your safety serious. Anytime, even if it wasn't COVID, that would be the same thing. Take your safety seriously. If he said they got people that, man, Robert had to go get tested. He might have, you know, COVID-19. Like, what? In some places, that alone has been cause to quarantine everybody who may have had contact with Robert. Everybody. Whole building is shut down. You, your family, everybody's under quarantine for the next whatever, you know, weeks, however long till we can test everybody and make sure you all aren't going out and infecting everybody else and all the rest of that. How is it? Oh, yeah, you might have went to go get tested for corona. Anyway, I sure do hope the Hawks get to come back to finish the season out. Boy, that Trae Young is something. Like, what the hell? What are you talking about? Like, confusion in these times, I can only say take your personal health and safety seriously. I would have quite, that's the same thing that we say all the time. That's what consistent. The same thing that I would always say. I would have questions at the ready. Like, man, are we in a pandemic? Make sure, maybe that's just on my television. Maybe that's, I just got stuck on some goofy Netflix special. But if it is a pandemic and the border is shut down and all the rest, like, man, is that reflected in our work environment? We got someone with mucus running down their face right there. Am I supposed to run and wash my hands every time I see? Like, come on. Come on. Questions. I would definitely encourage folks to have questions and to prioritize your safety. Man, so thankful I'm not in Atlanta. Other folks who dialed in, if we've missed you totally, if you have a hand up, either comments, observations, questions on what's been presented thus far or your own situation, proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Hello, everyone. This is Red in Ohio.
also the latest updates with the plantation. This past week, they had announced that they were going to start sending more people home because it is the area that I work in, it's pretty large, so it's definitely more than 10 people in the area. And so they finally decided to start sending some of the groups home, and they're only doing certain departments, like a test pilot for work-at-home areas. So I guess it just started, this past week. And then I think it was on Thursday or today, it seems like the days are running together, but they decided that they were going to increase the work-at-home, people working from home, but they're not going to shut down. We were told that for actually the plantation that I work for, I didn't know, but it's considered an essential business, so there's no shutting down, which, I mean, of course, with everything that's happening with so many layoffs, I am grateful. Even actually before some white people started taking this virus seriously, they were enacting mandatory overtime if your work wasn't finished, but still some people weren't even following that. At least I know I didn't come in for overtime, but I did help out with finishing up one white man's work because I don't know if he just called off or he just decided that he wasn't going to stay to finish his work. So there's that, but back to the COVID situation. So hopefully they said they could take up to several weeks for them to get to their 40% of the workforce working from home. But they said that they was going to go based off of your risk factors for contracting the disease, the virus, then seniority and just a whole bunch of other stuff, which I feel like it's just basically a fancy way of saying, you know, it's discretion. But they did also say that they changed the policy from what I shared last week about if at least like with the people who couldn't find like a babysitter or anything like that because their children weren't taken out of school, because just at least in Ohio, the white people, they're taking the virus seriously, and they had already shut down all schools. And then I know I keep jumping back and forth, but with the governor, it seems like there was like kind of like a joke going around the plantation, because it's like, okay, what is he going to shut down next? Because he shut down schools and restaurants, clubs, bars, and gyms, and I think some other stuff this week. So last week the plantation said the overseers, they said that if you had to stay home, it wouldn't count against you if you can like find somebody to, you know, take care of your offspring, but you would have to use your PTO or whatever time you had. This week they said that we're actually going to give you time to where you don't have to use your vacation time, which I thought was interesting in and of itself. And I asked a white person who had been working for the company for a while, I'm like, with all the employees, and this was sent out to all the employees, how is this company affording this? And I had to, you know, kind of, she had said that, well, you know, they had a good year last year, whatever. But I'm like, I don't, it's still kind of unfathomable to believe that, you know, white people, they have all types of funds. They can, you know, like what is mentioned all the time on the show, they can fix problems. They just decide not to. So that's, you know, that's a good thing. And then right before I left the plantation today, one of the overseers, they said that they've been hearing whispers that the governor is going to possibly put Ohio in a lockdown. So everything will be closed except for the essential businesses. And so since we are still essential, we'll still be expected to come in. And they also added that if we were to happen to get pulled over on our way to the plantation, we just need to show our work badge and everything should be fine. So that's definitely very that caused some anxiety immediately. But that's all I have to share for now. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Wow. That is super frightening. My goodness. And we just heard the young lady dial in, and she said that she went to retrieve her property. And I guess some sort of security personnel, that fellow that she knows, she said she's seen this person before and has spoke to him and everything. He knows her. And she went, she had her decal on her vehicle to go drive to get retrieve her property. Hey, where are you going? Stop that car. Shut all that lip up. Who are you? Show somebody. Like, whoa, what is going on? And they're saying it might come to that. Might be shutting all this down. Might have to have your work badge if you get stopped on the road. Like, wow. And is my work ID going to be enough? I think I just said what happened to Cynthia McKinney. Like, wow, is that going to be enough if I'm going in for my shift and I get stopped by, I don't know. I know they were talking about possibly bringing in the National Guard in some areas, an enforcement official. Like, wow, they have private security, depending on where you are in some neighborhoods. It wouldn't even be an enforcement official. They have private white people. Badge or no, I think it's said often on this program. That element could come into play. Like, wow. Extraordinary times. Much obliged, Red in Ohio. Those type of changes are important to note, where the policy changes, where, you know, today it was you got to use your personal time, and now we're given time. Excellent point. Always amplify that white people have the ability to solve problems. Those whites on a dime came around. We're going to look out for our employees. Paid time off. Here you go. Lots of that been happening. White people looking out for a lot of other white people this week. Make sure you get through this. We're going to stick it. Hey, got your back, man. A lot of that white person this year week. Glad that you're in a situation where at least it looks like they got your back, and you know, you got some more work and some time off. If that needs to be the case, I would definitely use it, especially if people are coughing and sniffling in the workplace. But this is definitely a time that you want to be abreast of any of those changes, upgrades to policies and procedures, maybe even review the entire policy and procedure, the portions of it that haven't been altered and what have you, because it might be some odd loopholes that could be applicable during these days and times. So go back and reread the whole thing just to make sure you haven't missed anything, because sometimes there'll be some little hidden nuggets of something that might now all of a sudden that, you know, means a whole lot more. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, this is not by any stretch the broadcast for spectators. So if you have thoughts, observations, comments you would like to share, *61. See if we can go through and nab all the folks who have dialed in with a hand so far. Let's see. Are there folks we have missed totally who've dialed in? Folks that we have missed completely. I'm seeing some on the switchboard here. Folks that we have missed totally who have a hand up.
Heard
both of you.
Now be heard.
Woo. Let's see. Yikes. It's not even showing the number.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We'll get you.
How you doing, Gus? I'm calling from Ohio also. And I'd like to say hello to all your listeners. I don't know if the young lady just called in. It just happened to be a coincidence. But anyway, I'm calling from the capital city in Columbus. And I work in logistics, and the response for the coronavirus has been, in my point of view, is that absolutely horrible from the workforce in which I work. Not getting any gloves, the equipment we need to be prepared to possibly not catch the coronavirus, and we're essential personnel. We can go as far as to say that we had a supervisor hold a meeting and say that we're running low on toilet paper. use it sparingly. So I don't know how a business like that could be in a situation to where they run out of things like that. No hand sanitizer. And even if you go out in the community, like the Dollar General stores and all that, you have people that aren't making, you know, much money without protection, rubber gloves, no face mask. And even when I went to Walmart today, the door greeter, just hand gloves, no face mask. And she's coming within 6 feet of these people coming in and out of the store. It's absolutely horrible. It's pathetic. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
That is absolutely absurd. Thank you so much for dialing in, sir. In Ohio, right there in Ohio with Red, toilet paper. I mean, I don't know. Like, if this is a professional company, how do we not have toilet? And it's not like we're, you know, a month into the crisis. Like, it's been like this and, you know, it's been a strain and they got limits on things and all the rest of it. Like, that is not the case. How are we 2 days into all of this? And, oh man, we're out of toilet. Like, what? What? You don't have a business Costco card or something where you can go and get a lot of, it's not like you're just buying toilet paper for one person. Like, wow. That is absolutely disgraceful. I cannot say that I'm surprised about the, disregard, I'd say, for the employee, like you were talking about the greeters and other folks who are doing labor where they're coming into contact with a lot of people in close proximity, where sometimes they don't have gloves, they don't have masks, proper material, just, you know, for their own safety and everybody else's safety, you would think, which again, that point when people say, man, black people aren't taking this seriously. In comparison to who? Anyway, but I have seen that as well. People that are working here who, you know, they don't have gloves on, or it seems kind of haphazard. Some of them do, some of them don't. It doesn't seem like it's been uniformly provided. Masks, same thing that you said. Yeah, I mean, if this is really serious, same thing other people have said about having workers show up and they're coughing and hacking everywhere and they're not quarantined. Like, what's, you know, what's really going on here? Let's be serious. Wow, there were so many folks who spoke up simultaneously. People that, I guess, yielded for the moment. Some of the other folks who spoke up a moment ago, if you have commentary to share, let's proceed.
Gus, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hi, yes, Gus. Good evening. Good greeting, Gus. I'm calling from California, and it's been pretty, it's been really crazy out here too.
What part of California?
It's been really Bakersfield, California. It's been really crazy out here too. People are ignoring the warning and doing whatever they want, and then I work for the schools and, you know, the kids are out here playing basketball and the same thing happened in Italy where they didn't follow the warnings with these kids and they went and infect everybody, you know, so people are still doing whatever they want out here too. So it's just been crazy. And where I work at, you know, things haven't changed one bit too. No one's wearing masks and everybody doing whatever they want. And that's all I have for now, Gus. But be careful, Gus, all right?
Thank you, sir. Hope everyone is being as careful, safe as they can, using logic to take care of themselves. I have seen that. I guess folks in educators would be paying attention to that, depending on what the closing situation. What's the school situation in California? That's kind of northern California, I guess. What's the school situation there? Is it closed, or how long is it closed? Is it indefinite?
Yeah, it's pretty much all the schools are closed down, and this, they put out they put out that we were not supposed to go back to school until April the 25th, I believe.
Okay.
April the 25th. And then today I went to, we all have to keep working out and go deliver food for the kids, you know. So today one little boy told me today when I went to make delivery, he told me, yeah, the black SpongeBob is here. You know, they're still doing the same thing. Nothing has changed, you know. The stuff is still in effect, you know. Anyhow, Gus, that's all I got for the thanks.
Oh, we're not going to let the Chinese virus, you know, shut down all our fun. I mean, man, we still got to get a racist joke in every day. The black SpongeBob, thank you. Get a little food today, the black SpongeBob. Tacky. Even in what they got, the viral apocalypse, they're gonna be tacky on the way down to and racist woman, racist man, racist child. Even in viral apocalypse. Did you get masks? You got to go out and do all that, and that's another one. Did they give you like a respirator, a mask, and gloves, a whole bunch of hand sanitizer?
Yeah, well, I had some hand sanitizer. Well, I take my own hand sanitizers, but they gave us, they had some masks there, and some gloves, but I just used the mask and the gloves, but other people weren't using the mask and the gloves. They were just, you know, going business as normal, you know? So I keep my mask on. I have my own mask. I had the N95 mask that I bought from a couple months ago, so it just came in handy for me, you know. So it worked out just fine. But other people are not wearing masks.
Love it. Social distancing. Social distancing. Big, especially anything where you work around children. Like, ooh, we think some people had said that policy. Some of our educators, they said that was their policy before the Chinese virus. No touching. I don't do any hugs, high fives, none of that. Like, I'm cool. We can teach and wish you all the best and blah, blah, blah. But no touching. That is for sure. Or maybe it's not, but that absolutely would be the policy moving forward. Once this is all done or whatever, like, I'm good. Not doing all that high five stuff either. I'm good. Nod. There you go. Give them a nod and let's keep it moving. Let's see. There's a whole lot of folks that seem like they spoke up simultaneously. Were there other people who had a hand up we still have missed? Let's see, I'll get the rest of the folks who have a hand up. Just trying to make sure. Let's see. Let me reload the switchboard here for a moment and see if I can nab some of our other hands, folks that we've missed totally. I'll give out the number again as I'm working my fingers down the board. 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks that we have missed totally, if you have a hand up, proceed.
Greetings.
Retired firefighter in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, I just obtained the means to tune in. So I'm not aware of, other than I know it's Workplace Racism Day, but what possible questions that may be tagged into the workplace. Maybe it was any conversation about the Chinese virus and how it to talk about it on, at your job or not. I don't know. So for me, listening a little bit more, then I'll be able to pick up on to be able to do any further talking. Literally just tune in.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. Let's see. Some of the other folks who are with us.
Can I be heard?
Heard both of you. Let's get Draftomania.
Can you hear me?
It's echoing a little bit. I can hear you, but it's echoing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about what was going on in my plantation. I, like you were talking about the schools and the districts are not cohesive. So I work for a school, a university, and all of the universities are closed except our our university.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. It's not echoing
Hello?
Anymore. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard it say muted. So everybody else is, they've been, banned from coming to school. The schools are closed. But our school, which is a black university, is still open. I'm grateful, though, that I still have work. I have been sick this week. And when you guys were talking about people going to school, going to work sick. And I was sick this week also due to the allergies and stuff. And I think it was like some type of cold going on. And I did have to take some days off of work. But like you said, that is kind of you're putting yourself in danger because you don't know who you're around or what if it's really a cold or allergies or what it is. So that I was affected by that. But I'm wondering why they haven't closed our school yet. But the thing is that they told us if we do close, the good thing is that we will still be paid. We will be able to take administrative leave with no pay cut. And that was basically one of the best things that I've heard. But what they did do is they stopped the students will not be able to come to classes. The classes have ended and they're doing classes online. They have some mandatory workers and some non-mandatory workers where they can work online and they won't have to come in. But I'm one of the mandatory workers that would have to come in. So my schedule is going to be next week a little earlier and stuff like that. But the best thing that I heard out of this whole situation is that if something should happen where they should shut it down, we will still get paid. But the bad situation is that everybody else is out. They're all closed down except us. And we're the only ones open. And that's basically all I have to share.
Well, I guess I'm thankful if it does shut down, like you said, that you'll still be compensated and you all are still working now. Or I guess even be more important than all of that, your health and well-being. It is, I guess, allergy season. So that just adds to the anxiety of all of this, because I think a substantial number of people would be having allergies anyway. Because it's springtime. Yesterday was the first day of spring, and with all the pollen and everything and the eruption of the plants, a lot of people would be sneezing and stuff anyway. But now that's going to be like, oh, man, is this? Oh, no. Did I get the Chinese virus? I'm about to die. And just more stress over. And it could just be, oh, man, the dogwoods are opening. That's all it is. The pollen got me again. All I had to do was wait 2 weeks and I'd have been good. And now I'm in quarantine. I mean, that's serious because you could end up in quarantine. Somebody could. Oh, man, I think she got the Rona. And all you needed was,
And wait. I was really bad, too, Gus. I was really, really bad. I mean, this is the worst I've ever. I had to take a couple of days off of work. So it was really bad. Yeah.
allergy season is tough sometimes. I had allergies growing up. So, yeah, all that pollen can take can have an impact for some folks. So, yeah, take care of yourself. Glad it was just allergies. But, yeah, I don't – that lack of uniform policy, where and that's the same thing that I said, where with some – I was talking K through 12 before, but I mean college and universities too, where – it's just not uniform, where you can be two blocks over, a mile over, a county over, and, you know, it's drastically different policies. Just that just does not make as much sense. It would seem like a lot more of this. It would just be very uniform policy, particularly with schools. With other things, I can see businesses, maybe you can't, you know, tell it. Well, they did in some places. They did. They said that everybody shut down. All the bars are shut down. I mean, they did do that in some places. So. Yeah, that's distressing.
Well, Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
About Sunday, what time does your show start on Sunday?
The Global Sunday Talk on Racism, it should be 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. Oh, wait a minute. Whoop. It's been so long, I'm out of practice. Let's do it again. Scratch all that. All that's wrong. Do it again. All right. 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 p.m. Pacific. It used to be earlier, and I hated that. It's like, who in the hell put this at 9 a.m.? It's like, it doesn't even matter, because I am changing it. So it is 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific on Sunday. It's that time so that we can get people, Mr. Fox, who was mentioned already, and some of the other folks from different parts of the world. We have Cal's listeners in China who were very eager to share their thoughts on this, because they were under quarantine. And all of that, and so they had a very different perspective. That's why I said I think it would be very important to, well, it's always, but especially now, very important to exchange views, other victims of racism, other parts of the planet, to just see what they are experiencing. But yeah, this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, Global Sunday Talk, global perspective on the Chinese virus.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, I'll try to take my break around that time so I can tune in for a little while.
Yes, ma'am. He hopefully will be here live with no tech issues. Let's see. It was two female callers, I think, unless that was the echo. The other female caller that spoke up simultaneously. Was it another female caller? Maybe I was confused. Was there another female caller? Did we miss her?
I won. I don't know where she went.
That'll do. Caller, Bay Area mom. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. All right. Well, I'm trying to keep up with the speed limit because there's not a lot of cars on the freeway here. It's a bit scary. Just being, because you almost feel like, can we go outside or can I work? So with me working, it seems like I have to have a letter to show that my services are essential, medical, that's what they call it. My company is staying open. I had a meeting this morning with the whomever owns us, and several other companies, so we have a lot of other companies under this umbrella, and he sounded grumbled and mumbled and stressed, and he's reading this letter from a parent stating how they need the services. So we're still open. Some people may be calling in, some people aren't. My whole load is called in. I have no children. Last week I went to work, Spanish people speaking white people. And their the grandparent and great-grandparent came down from wherever. So just in time. So now they're looking. I come in for a hand sanitizer on the right at the door, since you come in. So I'm looking at it, and I keep hand sanitizer on my tablet, right where my tablet is, that's where my sanitizer is, so I've been about that life. So not tripping, I'm looking. So then she's like, oh, could you use this before you go in? I wouldn't make you use it, but my mom and grandma, I'm like, I ain't tripping. So you see this, I use this before I go in just to deal with any of y'all, so I'm not tripping. So she's like, oh, you got something. Well, can you use this one? Oh, no problem. Won't be wasted mine. So I'm just push, do whatever, rub it in. So the second day, I come back, and I come with my supervisor. I guess he would be white. So now, you know, I get to look like, oh, it's back. They looking at me like, it's Ebola. Like, no, it's Corona. So I get to look like, ah. So now we going through the kitchen where the old ladies are talking their language. And so we go through the kitchen because I guess I got to do whatever, you know, little cubs want to do. This is my supervisor here. So if you want to go outside, whatever, let's go. So we go outside. Now I got to follow. So I go out there and now they looking like, ah. So, whole face turned up. So, I'm cracking up. So, excuse me. So now they, whole face, why they in here? And, you know, so we don't wear shoes. You know, I'm like, take my shoes, go outside, come back and forth. It's crazy. So, now, the old lady, they wiping down, the windows and stuff. So, just wiping down stuff, cleaning the, I caught the older lady, wiping the doorknob. So, I was just laughing. I hurt my feelings. I don't touch nothing. So, he touched that doorknob. I ain't touching nothing. Oh, he touched the doorknob, and she wiping it down, and then she kind of just said, she see me looking, and then she start cleaning the windows and stuff. I'm like, girl, you ain't got to do all that, all the theatrics. It's all good. I'm not tripping. You do what you do. So, now she, looking and talking in that language, another old lady, her whole face, like, she smelled, you know, skunk, and so I'm just cracking up. I'm like, I get it. She's like, no, it's okay. So then we leave, but they cancel service. After that, ain't no more services. Y'all, so we'll see how next week goes with the services. It's interesting. Now, these freeways are clear, as if it is a holiday, a real holiday, and it's 2 in the morning. That's how the freeways are. Three in the morning. So the freeways are scarce. BART, nobody's riding the BART. Now they decide they want to clean the BART train because nobody's riding it. He didn't care when everybody had to endure the field. But now since nobody's on it, they scratch, clean the train. Nobody's on the BART. We have a curfew. San Francisco will first started, they had to be in first. Then they made the big, like, this horn, woo, woo, this end of the world noise in the city to let them know they were in business about this, how they were going to deal with this. We're not waiting on the president. We're doing it ourselves. So here in Oakland, because I work that area, Oakland, Contra Costa County, Alameda County, Berkeley, the city of Berkeley, and a couple of other counties are on what they call lockdown. So we have to go home. So now they made it as of yesterday to where we can only come out if we work. And that's when I guess these badges and all this identification come in at. And then they got to break it down specific to where you're going, where you're supposed to be. Or if we're going to make a shoot to the store or something to pick up something to eat or something like that. Other than that, you are to be in the house. So they said the military is in the San Francisco just, you know, to get prepared for whatever they feel the turnout will be because of the climate they're creating from this. And that's all. And thank you for taking my call.
Context of white supremacy. Wow, I had nostalgia. I used to live in the Bay Area until I lived in Seattle. California was my favorite plantation. Really, it's kind of the same thing. Like, the whole West Coast is really similar. You could probably, I think Thomas in New York said you could move to Portland. Like, it's all kind of the same thing. Really, the only major difference will be weather and the number of non-white people varies slightly. You'll have more non-white people as you move further south, but it's pretty similar, the whole West Coast. But I am all right with Seattle. It is, things are shut down and everything, but we are not on military lockdown, and we do not have a curfew as yet. And even that, like, now listen, Atlanta, they got shootouts at the mall. They got military lockdown. Or she didn't say, she said the military was prepping. The military is not there yet. I'm sorry. I'm hopping the gun, as they say, metaphor. But the military is prepping. They have a curfew, and they have the purge horn that sounds to denote that we are serious about the curfew. And I said it depends on where you are, because in other regions they got curfews, like they got fines. If you, you know, think you're going to plot in your own little shooting, you're going to be a copycat of Lenox Mall, we got planned news for you. That's a fine. Escort you back home. None of that. And the mall is closed. Like, that wouldn't even be possible in a lot of places. The mall is closed here. Malls are closed here. But I mean, wow, that is the home situation. Like, that's another thing. Like, I would think this is probably going to radically adjust some of that. Like, how much hanging out in other people's houses do I need to do? And they aren't really cool about having you here and spraying everything down. Like, oh, we got this nigger in the house, spray the door and all the rest of it. Like, man, I misanthrope, curmudgeon. I was that, like, a decade before all this happened. I was into social distancing, minimized contact. But yeah, I'm not into all that. I don't like touching other people. These are strangers. You got to go and hang out on their furniture and stuff. Like, I don't even want to be here. So no, I do not take offense. If you want to sanitize everything, I don't even want to be in the residence. Like, man, I wish we could do all this.
Wait, stuff. Wait. So why I was doing that to a cat, a little, my last client, because they didn't cancel on Monday, so he's all on his nose and stuff. So he touched his stuff, and I'm like, I touched his thing. He's like, I don't know, that's mine. I'm like, ugh. And so he's like, I'm like, you can't do it. I got his stuff, so he digging in his nose and stuff. I'm like, man, go, man, get some tissue. He's, oh, I'll get some tissue. I'm like, man, where did I wash your hands, though? So he's, okay, I'll wash my hands. I don't
want to
be locking up on the kids and stuff.
It's
just like that. Let me read my line.
All right. Ooh, man. Strange times. My goodness. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Whew. I do not envy anyone who works with children right now, or really any job where you have to go out and, like, be in people's houses, or they have to come to your house, and you're like, oof. Even if there was no coronavirus, like, man, or even let's say they get a vaccine tomorrow and all this is squashed, like, whew, I am not interested in having to sit through all of the revamp of policy and procedure that's going to happen as a result of this. And it might be mandated. Everybody is going to have hand sanitizer glued to their tablet now, and all. Oh, man, man, oh, man. Nod. Context of white supremacy. The number again is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Make sure I get in all my emails. Just because we are at apocalypse doesn't mean I get to slack on those. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Next person wrote in. Hello, Gus. White male coworker tells two jokes. Oh, I love a good racist joke. Let's go. White male coworker tells two jokes. Number one, a black man and a Hispanic are in a car. Who's driving? Answer, the police. I love it. I hadn't heard that one before. Did y'all get it? Who's out there in the backseat? You always got criminals, black people. Yeah, okay. He said every time he goes to tell white people that joke, they already know it. That's the same thing I've said every time without fail when I go to tell a white person a racist joke. Oh, I already know that one. Yeah, yeah. Me and dad used to swap that one. Good old days. But they're ignorant about racism. They know all 50,000 of the nigger jokes, but they're ignorant about racism. Let's see. Oh, we got a white person coming on the program. Told you, I'm trying to see if we can broadcast. Everybody stuck at home should just broadcast because we'll have a captive audience. White woman coming to the program next week. Continuing, they said, I already know it. He admits every white person knows this joke. Of course. Number two, there's a Mexican Guatemalan, Ecuadorian in a car. Who's driving? Answer, ICE. Immigration and Enforcement Services. Same thing, criminals. They're here illegally. Rapists, probably. I just said, that's very interesting. Do you have any more? I love it. I love it. Write it down and he shared. Write it down. That's all. That's, I'm not offended. Jumping up and down. You dirty cracker, and I can't believe you. You got one about the Kung Flu? Keep it timely. That's all. Write them down. Same procedure. Nothing changes. Zombie apocalypse. Same procedure. Ask question. Write that down. We were in the middle of the zombie apocalypse. March 20, 4:15 p.m. Mexican, Guatemalan, Ecuador. ICE. Joke before that. Might even include all the white people know this one. Like I've told this one so many times. Let's see. He said he had plenty. He said he had plenty of them. As soon as he left, I wrote everything down. I'm pretty sure he wants to upset me. More info later. I love it. A plus work. I love it. A plus. Make notes. I'm not being emotional about all this. I'm not. I mean, now under these times, you might find, because this is a lot of strain. Like, wow, you can't even go get toilet paper. You might not have a job at all, or your hours are reduced, or you don't know what's going to happen. And it changes, you know. This is extraordinary anxiety. And then all these other people, and then you got relatives to worry about, and your children are out. We haven't even talked about that. Your children aren't even in school in some cases. So a lot to worry about. So, I mean, it's a lot of stress. It might be that there are some days where you don't have the same patience that you normally would. That's important to recognize, too. And on those days, you get to the bathroom. You take space. Got to go outside. I'm not going to be able to do anything because I might respond emotionally. It might be a day where I'm ready to curse or stomp or whatever it is. We don't even have toilet paper at work. I got to ration toilet paper at home and on the job. My God. Ration your patience. Recognize where you are. You might need to find a lot more spaces to breathe, given the extraordinary circumstances and anxiety that everybody is under. Just being around other people that are stressed, which is everybody right now, that is stressful. So take breaks. Go to the bathroom. Get outside. It's starting to warm. It's been lovely this whole week in Seattle. So go outside. They said you can do that. You can go outside by yourself. That's still social distancing. And just breathe if you need to get it together. White people's racist tackiness is getting to you. Take space. Or just they're hacking it. They're hacking and coughing and not under self-quarantine. Major self-distance. Get outside. Breathe. Compose. Get your mask. Sanitize. And then you can get back together. But these are extraordinarily stressful times. Be mindful if your patience is not what it could be, what it should be. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Are there other folks we missed totally? Other people who have a hand up that we've not heard from at all?
May I be heard?
Greetings, caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, listeners, and callers. I'm going to start with my first two. I think it deals with the conditioning of black people under the system of white supremacy. The first was we were still allowing people in. Today was the last day that the courthouse is open to the public. We're going to switch the hours around next week. So there was a lot of passport picture taken this week. And there was an anti-black comment that was made by my black female coworker to a black family. At least I perceived it as that way. She was taking the photographs for them to complete their passport. So she made a comment like, because we got this like background projector that lights up to provide a more contrasting image for the passport, because they want the background to be white. Okay, so the family was melanated, was more melanated, and she herself is melanated, and she made a comment that was saying, "Oh, well, you know what? I don't think I like that picture. You're a little too darker than I would like." All right. So I was like, "What did she just say? What I thought she did?" And then she, she made, I think it was a younger male, black male, take another picture. So I get to see, we have like the little screen device that shows the image. It's like a campfire, you know, wireless connection, where you can see the picture you just took. So I guess she wasn't comfortable with the image. And she said, "Well, we have to turn this thing off because, you know, you're too dark. You're too dark. So I got to take the flash and take the picture without the background projector light on." Now, I've taken images of different skin tones of people, and I haven't had that issue. So she was just, you know, blatantly saying this out loud. And then the black female supervisor from the back was like, no. Like, stand back a little further. You know, that's what such and such said, the white person that works in there. And so she did that, and I guess the pictures came out well. But the thing is, she still said something that wasn't necessary. You know, there is, you know, you could take pictures just like you can with any skin tone. It doesn't matter. You just got to make sure, you know, the person isn't really sweaty or nothing like that, because in the picture, it could come out with a shine on it, you know. But I thought that was, anti-blackness. And the second one, there's an older black male that came in, and there was a white female coworker that took some days off, about almost a week. So she was sitting there, and he comes in, he says, "Hey, you right there, whenever you take time off, you need to let me know." And because, see, him right there, which is me, all I get out of him is a wave. And I did my wave. And I say, it's codified. That was a statement I made. So I don't know if people understood what that meant. So, he just waves. That's it. That's all I get out of him. And she right there, she just does whatever she does. But I missed you. Okay. You got to let me know these things. And, you know, she's just laughing all over the place. Because she's absorbing so much of his attention. And upon exiting, he says, "You know, you're like my child. You just have to let me know these things." You just add more emphasis and making her more revered than she should be. But of course, she's revered because she, you know, a white person. So that was my second one. And my next few has a lot to do with this COVID-19/coronavirus. Let's see. The third one is, I was walking down the hallway doing the route, going to the judge's offices. So it was some white people talking in the hallway on the fourth floor. And this white woman, okay, she had a bottle of the Lysol disinfectant. And she, when I was walking by, she held it up as though she was going to spray it at me, okay? But she didn't press it. But she was like a few feet away. So she was like, "Hey, you know, we got to be careful." And I just kept walking. So they were speaking to each other. So that was an act of racism. And my fourth one is that I was walking past that same nefarious sergeant that was talking about the shank. He made a comment to his, out of all of his officers, the black officer he was leaving the building. This guy says, don't go out there and catch corona. And I ain't talking about the alcohol kind, meaning like, you know, the beverage or whatnot. So that was one. It was a white man. He was sitting down with the black female coworker of mine. And he said, you know what, I'm here to get clemency. And, I need to get my gun permit because, you know, we have this zombie virus going on. And she did not want to repeat what he said. But any other time, they're making comments about other customers and the thing to say. I'm like, that's pretty extreme thing to say, a zombie virus. And I got this call from a white woman, and I think she was down in a retired firefighters area, Miami-Dade County, and she was an elderly white woman. All right, so she was saying, you know, I just need a copy of my divorce. And I said, okay, do you want me to apply the certification stamp so I could send it out to her? And then she needed to send it to the Social Security Administration. So there was a person in the background talking that I guess had an accent, you know, a non-white person. You're supposed to be here helping me. That's what she's saying. You're supposed to be here helping me. And then she's telling me, she said, sorry about this. I don't want you to hear this in the background. This person, he just left me. He's only getting paid $3.12 an hour, something like that. And he's just not doing his job. So she's totally off the subject. So I'm trying to get focused on getting her the copy and say, hey, it's going to be $4. All right. So now, when a white person is saying something racist, I let them talk. All right. So she said that first, she said, my phone has caught coronavirus. Okay. And I can't find anything on my phone. Everything is deleted, all of my contacts, my text messages. Like, what do I have to do with this, you know? And she goes on to say, these Haitians, you know, I can't stand them. They're controlling and running everything. Haitians, all right? And she stops and says, oh, I'm not a prejudiced person, sir. And I thought about that sound clip. I am not prejudiced, okay? So she says, I'm not a prejudiced person, sir. And these Haitians, they killed my husband. So all of this stuff she's saying. So I finally get the person to pay for the divorce decree. And, you know, I get off the phone and I made sure I documented that. And there was one last one on it where, a white supervisor from another department was saying about the so-called, I guess, coronavirus that, oh, well, this should have stayed in China. Why didn't they, you know, kill off some of their population with this? Why did they bring it over here? So a black female asked me a question, why would you say something like that? I said, because they're not white. That was what my response was. And that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Much obliged, caller in Florida. According to the information we received this evening, we have been misinformed. The patient X is in Chicago. It's a white woman who's been hacking for about the last 3 months. Started in Illinois and spread out from there. But neither here nor there. let's see. There's so much in historic time. Now, the folks that came in, you said there was a run on passport photos. What do they know that I don't know? Like, I thought the border was closed. Where are they going? Like, what? I don't understand. It takes like a month to get the... it took a month when I got mine. That was pre-corona times. At the beginning of February, it took a month. I suspect it would take longer now because, one, they say anyway that it increases in springtime because people plan their trips for the summer and all that. I have no idea what that's going to look like this year. I suspect it would take longer now anyway because people are not working. I don't know if there's anybody at the State Department who does all the paperwork that has to happen with, you know, clearing for the passport. So where are they going? The folks that are coming to get this, like, I was thinking, like, maybe if the zombie apocalypse hits really hard here and there's like a safe haven, like a little island someplace that you could fly to, and then flights are like a quarter now. So you get on a plane and fly someplace and just be hiding out on the island, but you would have to have a passport. It's like, oh, okay, maybe that's what they're thinking. But yeah, I don't know where you're, they closed the board. Yeah. People have to tell me something on that one, the run on passports. I was thinking a while, I feel like a loser for having it, and now the board is closed, but then I guess it's better to have it and not need it or be able to use it as opposed to not having it and then whatever happens. Let's see. The Lysol. I feel like you're always, or black people in general, are always being threatened with violence. Like casually, directly, like it happens so regularly. We've had so many people talk about being physically assaulted in the workplace. We had the sergeant before you mentioned to, he was going to shank you. This female is coming in the hallway and she is going to pow, give you a spray with the light. I mean, they say not to point that at people. I thought I've read that on the label. Like, don't point that at people's eyes. Like, oh man, you could burn somebody really bad. And this is not a toy. I think that's written on the label. Maybe I'm, you know, ignorant. I'm not the best at reading. But it's always some sort of allusion to violence. That is the system of racism, white supremacy. You have to be real careful about that at all times. And it's always some justification. And the jokes, that's why I even say with those racist jokes, a lot of times it'll be jokes about violence towards black people. Even that criminalization, if you're in the back of a police car, that's violent. Like a police arrest, that's a violent thing frequently. Directly, indirectly, having your freedom taken away in such an extreme manner like that, that is violent. Anyway, squirt you with a lot, that is an act of violence, in my opinion. And again, all of these, you can reverse them now. I believe our caller at the courthouse here has said, people say, oh, you're so intimidating. My goodness, you know, he's such a big guy. You lift weights or something? Like, my God, looks like he could knock a whole building down with one pinky. I say that about him. I've heard that about a lot of black people. Dr. Curry's talked about that, the man not, all of that. It'll be reason to justify this sort of behavior. We've got to, because he's menacing. He's a big fella. See him? I got to have my shank at the ready. I got to have my nigger knock. He might say something. He might do something. I got to be at the ready. That's black people in the system of white supremacy. Let's see. The Catch Corona. Just the fact that he said, I don't know how many black people work, you know, in that position, security there, what have, I think he might have said he was the only one. But if they, you know, I don't think this is a position where it's just tons and tons of black people there, that you would single out like the one and only or one of the few black people. And again, we're not even being professional. Let me say that again. When I hear people say, man, black people just ain't taking this serious. They're just running around acting crazy and turning, it's not taking this serious. In comparison to who? We're at the courthouse. Again, we're not at Jack in the Box. We're not at McDonald's. I would expect them to be cutting a fool. We're at the court. People are coming here to get death certificates, marriage licenses, passports, important documentation, you know, take out a restraining order on somebody. And we got officers of the law, court officials. Now, mind, don't catch the Rona now. What kind of example is that saying? Like, are you taking this serious? Like, and why are you signaling out a black person? Even, the way that you said it, don't catch the corona, that almost has like a sexual thing. That's, I mean, you say that, don't catch the right. Clap. Don't, I mean, maybe that's just me. You all can feel free. Gush, you're acting crazy. Maybe you caught the corona, talking crazy on here like that. But that sounds like, yeah, don't get out and get in any trouble now. Messing around and, you know, you're being caught. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any better than Taggy. Triple T's. Now, the photos. In a previous lifetime, Gus T. Renegade did some photography work, like the whole nine, taking photographs, developing the photographs, doing the prints, like all of it. And so, in my training for all of that, I do remember a white man, I would say suspected racist, but I met this white man at a time when I was extremely ignorant about white supremacy racism, and I'm ignorant now. But I mean, like, whoo, couldn't spell Neely Fuller Jr. or racism. This white man, I thought, was racist then. So, anyway, this white man, my photography instructor, he said that when you go to shoot black people, his code was that he would shoot black people with more light so that you could see more of their color definition features. He would shoot white people with less light because you shoot white people with more light, they look really, really pale. You shoot white black people with no light and it's just really dark. You can't really see any of their features definition. That was his photography code. I did use that and it did work really well. I wish I had saved some of my prints I could show, but that did come to mind. All that being said, like, I'm pretty sure today was not the first, or this week was not the first time that this white woman had been using this camera. I'm pretty sure this first, not the first time that she had taken a photograph of a black person. I'm sure many, many black people have been photographed at the courthouse, at this wall, white people, black people, all of the above. It would stand out to me having a white woman, suspected racist, just beckon out. Oh, man, this, you just look so dark. Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to do this. We got to do this again because you just... Something about that would stand out to me as, yeah, this sounds like an anti-black moment. You probably could have done this correctly. We probably could have been more professional about this. Just, yeah, someone, and to continue to make those type of remarks, at minimum, you're incompetent with using the camera. You should know how to do all this by now. And then it's always something disparaging about black people and blackness. Oh, it's just so black. Oh, you just can't do something. The zombie virus, all I can say, I mean, the system of racism, white supremacy, we had folks who talked before about being happy about all this. You got millions of people all around the world who have sat around and watched The Walking Dead and Preppers for decades now and loved it, sat around and frothed at the opportunity to go out to the gun club. And we got pictures. We went to Florida. They got pictures of black people looting and they got pictures of zombies. And that's what you go to the target range and shoot at. Refine my skills as a killer. Bang, bang. I'm shooting at the Negro. Bang. I'm shooting at the zombie. Bang. That's one and the same. But that's the way they're thinking about this. Not, oh man, I need to make sure we got water piled up. Oh man, make sure I can help out my neighbor. We got old people on the block and they're not supposed to be going out at all. I'm going to go to Costco and make sure they got water and stop by and look at, no, we got zombie apocalypse and I need my gun license. Yes, that is the problem. Not hand sanitizer, not toilet paper, gun license for the zombie apocalypse. They did say earlier this week, gun sales soaring and ammunition. That was what they said specifically, was ammunition. Gun sales a little bit, but lots of ammunition. What was the other one? Let's see. If I'm going to have to endure all this terrorism and tackiness from a white woman on the phone, then I think that the divorce records need to be a lot more than $4. Like, wow. You have deviated to tell me that your phone has got the Rona. Let me take one more time for the people that say black people are not taking this seriously. In comparison to who? So this white woman has called in to get her divorce record and we can't even just get through. It's $4 divorce record. Where am I mailing this to? That's it. That sounds like it should be sitting, particularly in these times, like you're wasting time on the phone. We got things to do, priorities, like things are changing. And am I going to have a job? Are we going to be able to eat? I can't be wasting time talking to some court clerk that I don't know who's, you're in the other part of Florida. That's, oh my God, like a 10-hour drive or something. Like, man. $4 address. All right, let's get off the phone. I got other. Well, wait a minute. Well, you know, got this fella here in the background clowning around, not doing any work. We got just lazy niggers, good for nothing, can't do anything. And got to tell you about these Haitians. You know, they have been a problem for a long time. They killed my husband, which I said, wait a minute. I thought I'm trying to get off the phone, but I thought y'all got a divorce. How did they kill him? And you got, did they kill? Can't even get into that. Anyway, so the Haitians, yes, we got the Haitians are a problem, and they're that probably the zombies right there, because they do call Haitians zombies. That's another day. So, yeah, we got the Haitians and their problem. And I got to tell you about that because they killed my husband. And my phone got the Rona. I lost all my contacts and text messages. And it's just been the worst thing in the history. Like, what? We were just trying.
I am not prejudiced.
Yeah, I'm not prejudiced. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not prejudiced. That's my favorite. That was President Obama. That was 2012. My man said that. He voted for a white man that was in jail. And he said, I'm not prejudiced. I just wasn't going to vote for that President Obama. He's messed everything up. That white convict, he'll get us straight. We got it. I am not prejudiced. Wow. Doesn't get any better than white women. Let them talk. I love it. Let them talk. But it would have to be, if this is recorded or if we got notes on this, it should be a lot more than $4 if I'm going to have to deal with this type of thing and people that can ramble and talk all kinds of nonsense and tell you about their family problems and all the rest of it. Like, wow, it should be like $25, $50, like something, man, time and energy. Was there anything else? Let's see. Patience, I can't believe it. I'll stop there for the moment. Wow, the courthouse never disappoints, even with the zombie apocalypse now, apparently. We got the Chinese virus, the zombie apocalypse. The phone even has been hacked. We got the phone coronavirus as well now. Wow, codified at the courthouse. The rude remarks, I got that one too, where the fella came by and was still being rude. And the white validation, the white woman is the child to be expected in the system of racism. Ah, wow, thank you for sharing, sir. Are there folks that we missed totally? We have about 30 minutes left in the broadcast. We should not have spectators for this historic broadcast or historic week, really, this week of workplace racism, white supremacy, the first week in a man, just to see how all of this unfolds over the next, we could be talking months, weeks, who knows, of what this is going to look like. But to just observe, adjust, study, again, white people conduct experiments. That is something that I would have people to keep in mind. I certainly am not saying to be reckless. I've said repeatedly, you know, follow logic, do everything that you can to preserve your safety, your health, well-being. Absolutely. White people conduct experiments. Caller at the courthouse said we had a white woman who was there just wearing the same clothes every day as an experiment. Just see how you folks respond. Whole lots of experiments can be run under an environment like this to see how people respond, how they adjust. Lots of experimentation can be conducted in an environment like this. Just keep that in mind. Let me make sure I get through all the emails so I can be on my word, and then we'll double check with callers. Next caller, she wrote in. The coronavirus has heavily impacted my plantation. We are socially distancing, so the majority of staff are working from home. The racist suspects appear to be concerned about the effects of isolation. They've been excluding me from some time a variety of ways, so it's nothing out of the ordinary for me. They've been excluding me for some time in a variety of ways, so it's nothing out of the ordinary for me. Before our bosses made the decision that the staff should work at home, I observed the race soldiers in my team use the coronavirus as an excuse for not working. The majority of them literally spent a whole day discussing the virus, watching broadcasts on the virus, reading articles on the virus, and having more conversations about the virus. I carried on working. The government has introduced a number of restrictions which are impacting how the company I work can operate, so I had to speak with a colleague in another team about whether or not projects can be completed. He couldn't resist the opportunity to practice racism, of course. He started talking about pollution levels in China dropping. Apparently, scientists have taken aerial views of the country, and much of the pollution has cleared as a result of the coronavirus impacting on their industries. I stayed silent and listened. I think he realized he was speaking to a non-white person, so he tried to cover up his racism by saying scientists would also be able to measure pollution levels in so-called Western countries. In my mind, I was wondering if he had considered the fact that many Western countries outsource their manufacturing to countries such as China. Great point. Great point. And I've seen some of those same aerial views. I think I said something about it. Yes, I did. We were talking about environmental racism. They have photographs of Italy and some of the rivers and bodies of water there that were totally polluted and disgusted from white people. And because of all this, they said Italy has been really hard hit. They said in the time, because they've had like lockdown, like you got to stay in the house. And I think it's been for at least a week or so. And they showed the river. They said you could see the fish for the first time in like ever, like in people's lifetime. They had never seen the fish clearly. The water was crystal. I said, wow, the problem, there is an infection on the planet. The problem is racist woman, racist man, racist child. Continuing. Before we were told to socially distance, I spoke to a colleague who mentioned she had been out of the country over the weekend. I asked if she was not worried that she would not be able to return. She said no. Had to be a white woman. She also mentioned that she was planning to take another trip out of the country in a few weeks. This has got to be a white woman. This led to a conversation about the parts of the world affected by the coronavirus and those restricting travel in and out of the country. I mentioned that countries in Africa were not as affected, probably due to the heat. She then scoffed in what seemed to me a racist fashion. I then explained that the scientists advising the government in the country that we live in had initially said they expected the virus to reduce its rate of infections as the weather warmed up, similar to the rate of winter flu infections. Her response was that it's all very confusing. I got the sense that her scoff meant either there was no way that disease-ridden place called Africa could have a lower rate of infection, or that she was thinking I was an idiot, or both. I was annoyed with myself for giving her the... I'm sorry, the last... Yeah, the both. I often feel the both is applicable when a racist suspect is talking to me, the disregard of whatever I have to say, and this nigga doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Like, absolutely, it is both. Anyway, I was annoyed with myself for giving her the additional explanation. It won't happen again. That is what I love about counter-racist codification. I say that all the time when we get excited and we want to name the coon of the week, the Sambo of the decade, and get ready to critique another non-white person. The non-white person that you can give the best critique of is yourself, because you know all of the errors, and I mean all of the details about where you made a mistake at and what you didn't quite say correctly. You know all of that. You are the person that you can critique the best. So if you want to get to some self-improvement, you want to get to sticking that finger out and rah, 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 you out doing the right, hey, start at home. I've also overheard race soldiers talking about having to get used to washing their hands more often. It's been fascinating. My man in New Jersey, he's pointed out repeatedly, soap is not selling out. Toilet paper, hand sanitizer, they said wash your hands repeatedly. I heard him say wash your hands is better than hand sanitizer repeatedly. Soap is stacked high on the shelves. Context of white supremacy. Fascinating times indeed. Lots of experiments can be run. You can even think of some experiments yourself that can be run in these times. It could be a question sometimes, just a question to ask. Anything. Think, invest, fascinating times. Other folks have comments. Make sure if we have people that we have not heard from at all, if you have commentary, observations, questions, please do not wait until the last 5 minutes. Like, please. We have about 20 minutes left. Go ahead and get your hand up if you think you want to participate. The waiting until the last five, like, man, that is not cool. We have all been captive. It's not like you got anywhere to go. Well, I take that back. I guess if you're in Atlanta, you could be at the club. So for the people who are on lockdown, you don't have anywhere to go. For the people who should be on lockdown, you should probably stay home and not be at the club. Folks that have other comments, particularly people we've missed completely, proceed.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to share something, not about my workplace, but maybe this is better for a compensatory call-in, but there is a gentleman who worked at NBC, and NBC was sharing that he recently died of the coronavirus. He must have been tested, and then shortly thereafter he died. And I was just thinking, that's weird. Don't they normally, for HIPAA, which is like the health privacy laws, don't they normally just share like maybe the gender and the age? But they said his full name, first and last, and they showed his picture. And I just thought it was very, I guess, tacky that they're, it was almost as though it was now being used as a way to, I don't know, highlight them as a network. So all these people who worked there were now giving a tribute to this person. This person wasn't like an anchor in front of the camera. They were somebody behind the scenes. But all of a sudden, everyone now at NBC is giving this tribute and holding up this person, posting their picture and their full name. And I just thought that that was kind of odd. I don't know if anyone had seen that. And I just thought, like, if I passed away at my job, I don't know that I would want that. I don't know. It just seems very odd.
I hadn't seen any of that, so I'll have to reserve comment till I can check out some of that. I guess I do from time to time if someone dies, if it's a colleague at a network or something, well, they'll do a tribute or post photographs or something of that nature. But yeah, I would have to see what this looks like and all of that to even give any logical commentary. So yeah, if anybody else has seen that, feel free. Other folks, or actually, pause. Another person wrote in for workplace racism. I don't have much of a coronavirus update. I started working from home in a seasonal position in January. Nothing has changed. In fact, I'm working now. It's usually slow on Fridays. They did decide to give paid time off to us seasonal employees if we have issues with our health or family's health related to the virus. Also, I may be extended due to the federal tax extension announced today. Oh, that's right. It's extended, I think, by several months, which, again, in my lifetime, I have never seen an extension for taxes. Like, I just don't remember that, like, ever. Months of extension. If anybody else, if you recall, like, where they shifted tax season, like, dramatically like this, I do not. Like, hey, white people can change whatever the rules when they feel like it, particularly if it is about justice, getting people the help they need. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Anything can be done. Anywho, if other folks have comments, questions, things they would like to share, please do not wait till the last minute. Line should be open. Proceed. Oh, wow, folks are waiting. The tax thing threw me out. I was so caught off with the taxes. I finished her last two paragraphs for other observations. So she ended last paragraph. She was talking about the taxes. She may be extended because they're extending tax season. Wish me luck. I have had generally good reviews so far. This company heavily relies on numeric metrics, and so far, okay. I have another job, and they had a meeting yesterday. I didn't go due to the virus, but that was my choice. Intelligent. I had most items before the stores went empty because I try to stock up when things are on sale. Here in Seattle, the stores are not empty. Toilet paper is not quite as full as it usually is, but the stores are not empty. I posted pictures. I had like a really exotic fruit bowl assembled. I had purple tomatoes and blood oranges and all kinds of wacky things, like all organic. Like, I didn't see any shortages of it. Like I said, it was toilet paper was not as full as it usually is, and spaghetti sauce was not as full as it usually is. But they did have spaghetti sauce, and they even had a sale on spaghetti sauce. So, but yeah, they haven't had empty stores here. Anyway, I tried to get my mom to leave New York City and visit me here in Georgia before the New York City shutdown. I figured she could at least get some fresh air in the backyard. Back to spectating because I am working. Have a good evening, all. Female caller from Georgia. They did say that. I want to make sure I get that in as well. I've heard that from numerous reports. I am not a medical doctor. I am not qualified to give Chinese virus suggestions, advice. That said, I have heard repeatedly that going outside does not violate the social distancing. That if everybody is fine, healthy, they don't have any symptoms or what have you, if you're outside and you're about 6 feet apart or what have you, that is fine. You all could be together sitting on the back porch. You could take a hike together. You could walk together, whatever. You could just stand and talk outside. That's fine. You're getting some fresh air. Like I said, here in Seattle, it's been sunny this week. So you could sit outside or stand outside or walk outside, run, I guess. If you have your distance, you could get some sunshine and you're still getting a little social time in. So, yeah, I don't maybe you have heard different information depending on what part of the globe where you are. But I've heard that repeatedly, that if you are outside, if you want to get your family or some friends, relatives, couple, three, four, as long as it's not 50 of you, but it's three, four people and you all are just sitting outside on the porch, 6 feet apart, whoopee, great. Y'all could do yoga outside, 6 feet apart, great. So, yeah, if you have relatives that are close, yeah, y'all could visit, get some food, get some sunshine, and talk about racism, white supremacy, and your counter-racist corona plan. Any other comments, observations, questions folks want to make sure they share?
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter in Florida.
Yes. Based on all of the suggestions that will remedy or be helpful to the resistance of this pestilence, I find it even besides the pestilence, to be some of the suggestions are quite practical that should be applicable for people under the global system of racist white supremacy, which is the major pestilence. Anyway, such as minimizing contact, minimizing contact with a whole lot of people. You know, along with the, you know, the other more medical level, suggestions such as washing your hands, you know, in other words, the barrier would be cleanliness between yourself and someone else, that sort of thing. But especially the whole idea about the, abundance of contact, of being around a whole lot of people. I would find that to be logical before or after something that I think is an artificial pestilence that, you know, artificial meaning it was created by some particular person or persons. Does that make sense?
Minimize contact. Minimize contact.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what I said, how I started the broadcast this evening, that your counter-racist code, in my view, you can evaluate the effectiveness, how solid your counter-racist code is when there is an extreme event. And I think this was absolutely qualified. Do you have to make a whole lot of adjustments? Or are you able to for the most part, you're able to do a lot of the same things. In my view, you have a really solid counter-racist code if you don't have to change a whole lot of things. Like, the zombie apocalypse breaks, and you're still doing most of the same things that you did in terms of your counter-racist code. That is solid. When you have to go and switch up everything, when your code before was you had to go and kiss everybody to start the day and give them a big hug, and you had a 5-minute secret handshake with everybody, well, maybe your counter-racist code had some problems to begin with.
Because I'm not a touchy-feely type of person anyway. My attempted mother used to tell me that she would have to go out of her way to hug me because I wasn't the one who was really, that type of person to be, quote unquote affectionate. I think that's the word for it. But I would like to take, do some homework and state and come up with the answer to have the reduction between non-white people, especially who are classified as black. Has there been a reduction in the murder rate between ourselves or assault? I would guess that it has actually gone down because of this collective practice. Or if either that, or the news is kind of like disregarding those type of stories, and I could be wrong, and just specifically talking about this pestilence, but I would not be surprised if the rate on how our reaction to racism, white supremacy, which is negatively impacting on each other, has probably went down. The rate of it. It's probably went down. I could be wrong. Just a thought.
I suspect you are correct, retired firefighter. Well, it depends, because we did have the caller in Atlanta. He started the program. He said that they were shooting at the mall. I think it was a fatal shootout, but that's probably
because they wanted to get in, huh?
Well, I don't know if they were in and it happened in the mall, because I think the mall is open there. That's what he was saying. People were going to the club. Things aren't shut down. So that's,
but see, that's not following the suggestions.
Right. Right.
That's not following the suggestions.
Right. Social distancing. They're not doing it. So that's probably an anomaly.
Right.
So that just further makes the point that, it probably has. The river has cleaned out in a lot of places. They got a lot of bars and things are closed down. So I suspect some people are probably dealing with some voluntary or involuntary withdrawal from substance because the bars and such are closed. So they might, not be able to get all their suds and things. People couldn't get their green beer this week because St. Patrick's Day was kind of put on hold in most places. So, yeah, a whole lot of this will have some constructive result. It is one that words are important. What do you mean when you say pestilence?
Some sort of incorrect, natural or otherwise, behavior that harms people. And it's basically another way of me stating about this virus that exists. That's all. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. I asked because that was what I thought you meant when using the term. But I looked it up.
I am duty bound to be responsible for doing that. Yes.
I looked it up.
Thank you for the question.
For sure. I looked it up just to inform. Words are important. And the definition in the dictionary for pestilence: a fatal epidemic disease, especially bubonic plague. And I paused because I said, well, the coronavirus, according to the reports I've seen, does not qualify as a pestilence because it is not a fatal epidemic disease. The recovery rate is close to 90% for the coronavirus. So it is not a fatal epidemic. Panic, all of that. Yes, not saying be reckless, but I have seen no report that this is a fatal thing. most people, old people, maybe, immune system weakened, maybe. But if you are healthy and doing all right and you get the corona, generally the odds are that you are going to recover. So just that just stood out because I saw that in the dictionary. But right on. No confusion there. Words are important. Let's see. Any other folks? We got about 9 minutes left. Any other comments, questions, observations folks want to share? I am very anxious to hear how attempted parents have been impacted by this. Maybe we'll get an opportunity to discuss that tomorrow for workplace racism or the compensatory call-in to hear how it's impacted. And they're not in school and all the rest of it. I know here I've been seeing children. They are not social distancing at all. They have been out. It is summer vacation early. Like they have been out kicking it, going to the, which is probably what I'd be doing too. They've been out kicking it, going to the park, especially the older children. When I say older, like the high school children, they have been out kicking it. If their friends have cars, they have been out carpooling. Like you'll see 5-6 of them spill it, social distancing, 5-6 of them spill out where they have just been hanging out going wherever, I guess going to different people's houses and doing it. I'd be doing the same thing. I'm just saying that's been my general observation, that it's just been the grandest time ever, to be out and kick it all day long with their friends and hang out on the phone. And you don't even have a timetable of school might not even open back up. You might not have to go to school again until September. So it has just been joyous times. They can't spell social distancing or much of anything else. It is just all day video games and kick it. And woo, you all will get at us when you get at us. Let's see. Any?
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, so no, really, that's exactly what the children are doing. This is extended vacation. The children, even when you tell them, even because, and it's not their fault because we're supposed to be overseeing them, so we're supposed to make it happen, but we're not. We're stressed out. I'm just mean collectively, not me. I'm great. I picked my son up from the airport. He's grown, so I'm good. But collectively, the parents are stressed out about the kids even being home with them because they're accustomed, a lot of them, to them being gone, you know, at least a lot of hours a day, and a lot of the parents don't have time for the curriculum or anything. So it's summer vacation. They are at the park. They're trying to go to the zoo. They're still feeling parties. It's crazy. So you're right. It's not that serious. It's not their fault, though. That's not their fault.
Not judging, not blaming. They're children. That's what children do. As I, if I was 16, I would be clowning, like social distancing, whatever. Like we would be partying 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Like I would be upset about basketball. I said that I probably would be having some major withdrawals from not being able to watch basketball. But I would trade that for no school, no problem. Like I'm sleeping till 1 o'clock every day. Like. Party time. Best spring ever. Any other folks, comments that they want to share? Will be fascinating to see how all of this unfolds. As I said, or I was almost going to call it workplace racism. The global Sunday talk on racism should be this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 p.m. Pacific. I'm really looking forward to having this is B. She's back. So that doesn't, I thought it was somebody who had waited and tried to sneak in on us at the last minute, but B was already with us. But yeah, waiting, super excited and looking forward to Global Sunday Talk this coming Sunday to hear from black people in different parts of the known universe, different parts of the planet. What are they seeing? What's the school situation there? I think that is an opportunity to learn a lot. We try to do that anyway. That's why we've had the Global Sunday Talk for a long time. That's, I think, constructive under any circumstances, but particularly for something like this, Oh, yeah. Like, I'm trying to talk to as many people as possible. Like, what are y'all seeing down in Brazil? What's happening in China? Like, England, France, be in Toronto. Everybody. Everybody. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Like, information. Like, let's try to make sense of all of this chaos and confusion. Be in Toronto.
Hi, Jack.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Thank you, Coach Lister. Sorry, I just literally got off of work right now because there was another incident that I needed to deal with another restraint. All is good. I'm not further injured, thank goodness. Just wanted to say greetings to you callers and listeners, and just continue to stay safe and practice your code while working in the workplace and in your day-to-day life. And thank you, I leave the line.
You said restraint. Did you get, like, a respirator and gloves and, you know, I mean, if you have to touch someone physically?
Unfortunately, no. There is the personal protective equipment, or PPE, for the restraint. If it's not an open wound, it doesn't require the gloves. I know that amid the COVID-19, there would be the gown, the gloves, the mask, the N95 mask, not the regular surgical mask that would be included. But in this case, because no one at the residential home that I work at has been deemed as having COVID-19, then the personal protective equipment is very minimal. In this case, I was dealing with a client who was aggressive behavior. So that was my situation in particular.
Much obliged, be in Toronto. I'm glad no injuries, and you are off work now. You can go home and rejuvenate, get some rest, get some water, take some time to decompress, detoxify from all that. But wow, I guess I can. I'll ask real quick before I let you go, and we'll take up all your time. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Them saying, hey, did they test everybody? I guess that'd be one. So did they come to this conclusion? We tested all of the patients. Nobody here has the Rona. You're safe. You don't need all that extra equipment. Just follow the normal protocol. Or was this just nobody here has symptoms? And then the other part is, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like your safety has been compromised? Like, just what is your, yeah, how do you feel about that?
I feel that my safety has been in compromised a lot of ways, both by this COVID-19 and by the aggressive behavior. For the COVID-19, there were some residents that I had brought personally to the walk-in clinics and to their doctors, and according to their physicians, they don't have the virus, even though I wasn't advised as to whether or not they would actually be testing for it. In terms of staff coming in there, now there's two staff, there's a white male and a white female, that are both coughing and working away while on the job. And I, you know, asked questions about, you know, like, is there anything we should know about? However, the interesting thing about with Canada is that you, and I'm sure with other places as well, you have a right to privacy for personal health. So say even if someone was diagnosed with AIDS and they were a health professional and they're treating you, they're not obligated to inform you that they have this diagnosis. So even if they had the COVID-19, and they were diagnosed, they are not obligated to tell you or I as to whether they have it at the workplace. However, if something comes about where it's contracted in, then it's something that I can state that, you know, I should have been notified and had the appropriate protective procedures and legal implications in place as a result. But I mean, because of the Privacy Health Information Act, part of the larger act of HIPAA, which is to deal with the privacy of information, even if they were tested by their doctor, they don't have to notify the rest of the staff or even the workplace, although they should.
Wow. That is crazy. Like, if it were normal circumstances, be like, oh, but this is way beyond normal protocol, unless I have been misinformed. They said Ontario is, you know, a hot spot. They're teaming. Got lots of cases here. Like, what the hell? Like, how can we have people here? That's why I said it's been so disjointed, the response. Like, in some places, that is grounds. Everybody is going to be quarantined, you know, the coffin folks, the people that have been exposed to them, like, you're all getting tested and, you know, all the rest of it. And I thought that was such a brilliant response. My health has been compromised both by the health protocols or lack thereof and the aggressive, violent behavior. Like, absolutely. Lots of ways that our health is compromised. And this is, health was compromised way before the Chinese virus. In fact, Dr. Frances Kress-Welsing, she used to say all the time, none of us qualify for black mental health with this system anyway. That has certainly been exacerbated this week. We'll continue for the foreseeable future. Man, we missed out so much. What if we had Dr. Welsing for this week? Man, to have her medical expertise, third generation physician, to kind of help process, make sense of some of this. Man, enormous loss.